Breaking news this hour from Town Hall. I'm Rich Thomason. Turmoil in Iran, where violent demonstrations have erupted as the Islamic Republic's economy crumbles.
Protests over Iran's struggling economy have sprouted into rural areas, with at least three people killed and multiple arrests. The protests began due to economic pressures, with Iran's currency rapidly depreciating, with one U.S. dollar now costing roughly 1.4 million reals.
Correspondent Lisa Dwyer says President Trump is threatening U.S. intervention. On Truth Social, he writes that if Iran violently kills peaceful protesters, the United States will come to their rescue, and at least seven people have died so far in protest-related violence. The death toll from the devastating New Year's morning fire in the Swiss Alps stands at around 40, with more than 100 injured. The ferocious blaze in a popular night spot erupted as revelers were ringing in the New Year. The BBC's Sarah Rainsford is in Crans, Montana, where last night a vigil was held.
There's a shrine that has sprung up here where people have been bringing flowers and writing notes in memory of the victims of the fire. There's little candles flickering on the lay-by, and it is a very somber place. It's very quiet here, but all day long it has been a town, very, very somber, a town which is a resort place. So, you know, it's a place where people come for ski holidays. It's a place where they come to celebrate the new year.
Local authorities have ruled out arson. There have been some very dramatic high water rescues in San Diego as floodwaters rage. More than 2 inches of rain fell as the new year dawned, turning roads into rivers and trapping motorists in their vehicles, sending rivers and streams over their banks. On Wall Street this morning, Dow futures 173 points higher. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Candles were lit on Bondi Beach by families, by children, by people of faith to celebrate a festival of light, a festival from Bible times, one that Jesus himself celebrated, but instead of light, there was darkness, violence, fear, hatred, showing itself at a time meant for prayer and rejoicing. You know, it's times like this that remind us that even with a ceasefire in Israel, Jewish people are being targeted simply because of their faith. And at times like this, it also reminds us why the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews exists. To stand in the gap, providing safety and security to God's people. The fellowship brings together Christians and Jews to be a light to suffering Jews in Israel, the former Soviet Union, or wherever the needs are greatest. Today, Jewish people around the world face these threats and are so grateful for their Christian friends who stand with them. To find out how you can take part in this holy work, visit urgentifcj.org. That's one word, urgentifcj.org.
The teenage daughter of North Korean leader Kim Jong-un has made her first known visit to a family mausoleum where the embalmed bodies of her late grandfather and great-grandfather are on display. The visit occurred on New Year's Day. It adds weight to widespread speculation that she is being groomed as her father's successor. One analyst speculates that she will likely be named a high-level official at the upcoming ruling Workers' Party Congress. Images carried by state media today show the girl standing in the front row with her parents and deeply bowing at the memorial in Pyongyang. Facing increasing pressure from the Trump administration, Venezuelan dictator Nicolas Maduro says his government is open to reaching an agreement with the United States to combat drug trafficking. The U.S. military continues to blow up suspected drug smuggling boats in international waters off the coast of Venezuela. News and analysis at townhall.com. College football's signature event could undergo another overhaul amid travel concerns and other issues.
Big 12 Commissioner Brett Yormark says everything is on the table when it comes to rebooting the college football playoff, including potentially moving another round of games onto campus. The Oregon-Texas Tech game on New Year's Day kicked off in front of thousands of empty seats at Hard Rock Stadium. The Ducks traveled 3,200 miles to get to Miami. The commissioners have until January 23rd to figure out what next year's playoff will look like. Expansion and automatic bids have been the two biggest headlines in that discussion. I'm Geffen Coolbaugh.
While Wall Street's benchmarks have retreated in recent sessions, markets in Britain and South Korea have soared to record high closes. Those gains, driven by tech shares, being fueled by optimism over the future of artificial intelligence. More on these stories, townhall.com.
Your Fox 45 forecast, a mix of sun and clouds today, a chilly one with highs in the upper 30s. Mostly cloudy and frigid tonight as lows drop into the low 20s. Mostly cloudy for the start of your weekend on Saturday with a chance for some flurries later in the evening. Otherwise, still chilly with highs in the upper 30s. Some sun returns for your Sunday with highs near 40. From the Fox 45 Weather Authority, I'm meteorologist Amy Aronson for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Ready to make this the year you truly feel better? Start with your health. Rescue Natural Supplements has been helping people support heart health, cholesterol, digestion, weight management, energy levels, and more targeted wellness goals for over 40 years using high-quality, research-backed ingredients your body can trust. And right now, Rescue is celebrating you with their New Year savings. Save 40% when you buy any four single bottles of Rescue Supplements with the code NEWYEAR40. Try their popular Rescue 1250 Omega-3 for heart and brain health, probiotic for better digestion, or Orasine for more consistent all-natural energy. Whatever your health goals, Rescue has you covered. To mix and match four more bottles and get 40% off, just go to res-q.com or call 1-800-26-ALIVE. Again, that's 1-800-262-5483 or online at res-q.com with the code NEWYEAR40. Now's the time to take a smart step toward feeling your best with 40% off any four bottles of premium Rescue supplements at res-q.com using the code NEWYEAR40. Don't wait. Make this the year you prioritize your wellness with Rescue.
From Annapolis to Catonsville, from Dundalk to Reisterstown, this is the right choice for Maryland.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
Casey and Company starts now on Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harford County, the right choice for Maryland.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome. Nino Mangione filling in today. You are listening to Casey and Company on Talk Radio 680 WCBM, and that is 99.9 FM in Harford County, the right choice for Maryland. Remember, you can email in today, am680 at WCBM.com, and you can access the text line through the WCBM app if you have not downloaded the app. Go to WCBM.com right now. You can download the app on the Android, on the iPhone, and you can listen basically anywhere in the world, really. You can text in at any time. And if I can figure out this computer once and for all, and Kristen, thank you. You're back in behind the saddle today. Michelle did a great job while you were out. And we were just discussing, Kristen, how it must be nice to be Chuck Whitaker, especially. I mean, Chuck Whitaker hasn't worked in a whole year. I mean, he has not worked once this year, right? He still gets paid the big bucks, and he's not in again today. Unbelievable.
I'm jealous of Chuck Daly. Mostly time when he tells me what the temperature is down in Florida.
Yeah, that's true.
Except when he cries when they get below 50 degrees.
Well,
okay. Well, we pray for that for a high.
Yes. I was going to say it was cold this morning, just like it was on New Year's. And yes, Happy New Year to everybody today. Of course, January 2nd, 2026. I have to get used to that. So we have an action-packed show today. As we were just discussing, Kristen, a little more, because Gary is out as well today. So we'll have to fill.
Yeah, how do we get this?
Yes, we'll have to fill with a little more banter since.
Right.
Hope I have enough content to cover. Now, we have a lot to get to today. So much on the show, especially focusing on how waste, fraud, and abuse at the state, federal, and even local level, you know, how it adds up to real consequences for taxpayers. And we're going to talk about, really today, we're going to focus on how the bad decisions, yes, mostly fiscal, but the very bad and poor decisions by our so-called leaders in Annapolis, if you want to call them that, and in Washington, D.C., and how these decisions keep, well, in our case, Marylanders trapped, really, in a cycle of budget deficits. We're seeing it and projected to get worse. Higher taxes, and we've talked about that at length when we filled in. I mean, all year long we've been talking about the higher taxes and the rising fees in Maryland, and again, because of ongoing mismanagement, poor decision-making. Taxpayers in the state of Maryland especially repeatedly asked to cover the cost of their failed policies, their failed decisions in Annapolis. the questionable, I mean, at best, spending priorities and programs that, well, they never seem to ever get audited. And now, this year especially, I mean, they never get audited, it seems, until the damage is already done. But we've seen now the audits that have come out this year that have uncovered unbelievable abuse. Unbelievable abuse at the expense of the taxpayer. And the response is always the same from the Democrats. And that's nothing gets done to really fix anything. And then they come back and ask taxpayers for more money. The Maryland legislative session in less than 2 weeks, I'll be back in Annapolis. And it's hard to believe how quick that's come. Jeez, I mean, gosh, time does fly. But make no mistake, with the session coming up, you, as a taxpayer, probably going to get hit one way or another, and that could mean higher taxes and fees or cuts to some of the services that actually are essential. We'll see, because there's very little appetite in Annapolis to actually rein in some of the wasteful spending or rethink the priorities. And today's show, I'm going to highlight examples of the abuse and the mismanagement at the national, state, and local levels. And in 2025 alone, I mean, Maryland taxpayers, you look at some of the numerous tax and fee increases, whether it's these vehicle registration fees. Gosh, Chris Papps and I, we were had the interview last week. I mean, we highlighted, for example, the vending machine tax. Such nickel and dime in the emissions testing, all of that, the higher sports betting. And even after raising $1.6 billion in new taxes and fees, I mean, we're still looking at over a $3 billion budget shortfall by 2030. So here we go. We come into the legislative, this session coming up in less than 2 weeks. Fox Baltimore just had a report where the economist Anirban Basu, local economist, he basically notes that while, you know, lawmakers in Annapolis are talking about, believe it or not, they're saying now we got to look into real cuts. And I highlighted this point on my podcast, how it deals with the politics of things, because they had time to make cuts. Instead, they're waiting to an election year to actually try to sound responsible. They know they cannot keep politically coming back and abusing you, the taxpayer. So they're making the promise, the governor and other Democratic leaders, now's not the time to look for more taxes. Well, of course, because your name's about to be on the ballot. But we'll see how are they going to cover without increasing the deficit. Again, projected over $1.4 billion, $1.5 billion, without coming back to you. We'll see. I mean, geez, Basu, he makes the point that, you know, property tax assessments are already going up. We already saw these taxes across the board. And while short-term spending cuts, that, you know, they're absolutely necessary, he makes the point that the long-term solutions on growing the state's economy and tax base, I mean, that is the solution, actually. You have to grow an economy is what he's trying, the point he's making, grow the tax base. But what we have in Maryland is the complete opposite. So we're going to touch on that and a whole lot more throughout the show today. But for now, we want to check in, since Chuck Whitaker is out. Let's check in with today's weather forecast.
Your Fox 45 forecast, a mix of sun and clouds today, a chilly one with highs in the upper 30s, mostly cloudy and frigid tonight as lows drop into the low 20s, mostly cloudy for the start of your weekend on Saturday with a chance for some flurries later in the evening, otherwise still chilly with highs in the upper 30s. Some sun returns for your Sunday with highs near 40. From the Fox 45 Weather Authority, I'm meteorologist Amy Aronson for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, that's our Fox Baltimore weather update. And before I say another word, there is a caller on the line, a longtime friend. I know a loyal listener to WCBM, an absolute patriot. I want to welcome my friend and wish Happy New Year, Luigi, calling from Easton. How are you, brother?
All right, I'm doing well. Thank you. Got out on the 22nd.
That is great. How you feeling?
I'm feeling good, but I still got to have to go. You know, I was in there in the hospital and that thing 3 years all told. Oh, man.
Well,
it was crazy.
I'm glad to hear your voice, brother. And for those who don't know, Luigi, a Vietnam veteran, a longtime friend of this station, I appreciate all your support over the years, and I'm glad you're feeling better. Brother, I'm glad you're out of the hospital. I hope you're going to have a happy, happy new year and a great 2026.
Oh, yeah. I got a brand new little granddaughter.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, she's something else. And my neighbor, who loves you too, you know, was with me that time, first time.
Yeah, yeah, I remember you guys came all the way to that little event we had at my parents' house at the time, yep.
Yeah, we had a great time.
Yep, no, I'm glad, and it's great to hear your voice, brother, because I know you've had some health issues, and it seems like you're doing much better. And I've seen the picture on social media of your beautiful granddaughter, so that's great news.
Yeah, that's Gigi.
Gigi, my little sister, Gigi.
Yeah, her name's Gigi Lou. They put my name in there.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. Have you been following a lot of the local and national news, Luigi, while you were good? What was that?
I said I'm always into the news, local, all kind. I don't care where it's at.
Yeah, well, today I appreciate you listening. Today I'm going to be covering a host of issues, but I'm focusing on all of this waste and fraud and the abuse of the taxpayer throughout the country. And I have lots of examples and stories that I'm going to get to. So, Luigi, I wanted to say, again, Happy New Year. Thank you very much for the call. We'll touch base offline here, but I appreciate it. I wish you a great year of health and happiness, and congratulations again on your granddaughter. Look forward to hearing from you, my man.
All right. Thank you. Happy New Year to you and your family.
Thank you. Thank you, Luigi. Good man right there, ladies and gentlemen. Good man. Again, American patriot, a hero, a Vietnam veteran. Appreciate Luigi calling. So I want to take time now to pivot here to the local aspect of what I first started with the show. One perfect example that the Baltimore Sun is reporting, and I'm just trying to pull up the email here just so I have it. There we go, AM680. All right, so this is local. Baltimore County, minority business unit, waste $737,000. Complete waste. So the Sun reports that a Baltimore County minority business enterprise unit underutilized a software system that is designed to aid its compliance reporting, resulting in more than the $737,000 in wasted spending over 17 years, according to a new Inspector General report. It says the report is issued Wednesday, 2 days before Inspector General Kelly Madigan resigns from her role. That was a debacle, everything that went on with that. That's a whole nother discussion. But her role in Baltimore County builds on several reports that her office issued in the last 2 years that investigated fraud by a roofing contractor and raised concerns about monitoring compliance with the county's minority and women's business enterprise program. Says the program was first created by an executive order in 1983, and it was modified by an executive order in 2022, designed to provide opportunities for minority and women-owned firms to participate in county procurement. Well, given what Madigan found in her previous three reports, the first of which focused on how a Baltimore City roofing company defrauded the county and committed perjury by misrepresenting its relationships with a subcontracting company after winning a $1.8 million contract to replace the roof of the county's public safety building. Since the office examined the unit's contract compliance duties and responsibilities, and also examined the extent to which the unit did not monitor contracts compliance with minority business enterprise goals and regulations for county contracts, as well as the issue with PRISM, which is a compliance management software system. Madigan's office requested direct access to PRISM in April 2023, but did not receive it until February 2024, so almost a whole year, because the county didn't want to work with her on this. And once it gained access, however, her office found that certain contract information wasn't listed, goal setting wasn't functional, and monthly reporting by contractors and minorities or women-owned subcontractor firms wasn't occurring within the software. The report also found that PRISM software was not compatible with the county's existing and previous financial systems and couldn't be used as intended for compliance duties. The unit responsible for tracking compliance created, quote, workaround procedures using Excel spreadsheets to address the incompatibility, but did not implement them consistently, if at all, Madigan wrote. So here's just one example, which I have more on, about how your local spending or your local county government, an example of abuse and in fraud and waste. And this, I mean, when you add these things up, you look at millions and millions, if not hundreds of million dollars, in some case throughout the country, the state and country, billions, billions. More on this when we come back. Right now, you are listening to Nino Mangione filling in for Sean Casey and Casey and Company in the morning.
Looking for the perfect shooting experience? Come to Free State Gun Range, the friendliest gun range in town. Don't forget to ask about our brand new gold and silver memberships. Enjoy unlimited range time, advanced lane reservations, and exclusive discounts on firearms, accessories, and training. Visit us right now and take advantage of our extensive inventory of firearms and accessories. Visit freestategunrange.com or stop by today. Free State Gun Range. Shop, shoot, improve.
I invite you to join me on Thursday, February 5th at Liberatore's in Timonium for the second annual Taste of the Union. You'll enjoy a full Italian buffet, and then Sean Casey and I will dig into the issues shaping Maryland and what they mean for families, taxpayers, and local communities. If you value straightforward talk and common sense ideas, this is an evening you will not want to miss. Get your tickets now at WCBM.com. Taste of the Union is presented by the Smile Design Center and Lorien Health Services.
The views and opinions you hear on Talk Radio 680 WCBM and WCBM.com are not necessarily those of the owners, management, employees, and advertisers of WCBM.
Welcome back, everyone. Nino Mangione filling in for Sean Casey this morning. Casey and Company. Sean is back, I believe, now on Monday, so he'll be back behind the saddle here, starting off the year. So, again, Nino Mangione filling in. I was talking about just one example, this case being in Baltimore County, which, of course, I am running for the Baltimore County Council, and that is one of the things that I want to bring with me is my experience on the Appropriations Committee coming into Baltimore County of being fiscally prudent with how we spend the tax dollars. We've seen in Maryland that's obviously not the case. We know Baltimore County is cash-strapped. But this story I was referring to out of the Baltimore Sun, where Kelly Madigan, the inspector general, found her office, which reviewed 350 active contracts from the start of January 2022 through the end of March 2025, and found that almost half, in this instance of this story about the minority business enterprise, lacked any compliance-related documentation. 350 active contracts in only a three-year period, and almost half lacked any compliance-related documents. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. But let's check in with the Fox 45 Weather Authority forecast update. Today we're looking at a mix of sun and clouds, chilly, very chilly, with highs in the upper 30s. The overnight temperatures in the lower 20s, where tomorrow mostly cloudy, high in the upper 30s with flurries possible in the evening. I don't know why. Maybe it's just because that day off. It kind of feels like a Monday today. I keep forgetting today's Friday. Anytime, Kristen, you have to wake up. Well, I can't say this to you because this is what you do every day. But I guess anytime I wake up for work at 3:30 in the morning, it certainly doesn't feel like a Friday to me. But happy to be here filling in, and it is Friday, of course, January 2nd.
Well, I appreciate you being here, Nino. And look, this is not like you don't work the rest of the time. I mean, this is your vacation week, too, and you work around the clock here, and then also your delegate duty serving your constituents. So thank you for being here.
No, it's always fun to get behind the microphone here at WCBM, and you know it's fun to be in here with Sean. And again, he'll be back on Monday. I'll probably be up, hopefully watching a Ravens playoff, well, a victory to send them into the playoffs. So I'm not sure I'm going to be guest there. Sean did say if I want to pop in the studio next week. So who knows? But it's hard to, although the sleep, the body clock gets thrown off a little bit when you're not used to waking up. The first day when I filled in, I guess Monday, I was up at about 2:15 in the morning.
Great. You're so nervous. Slowly, you're afraid you're going to oversleep. Then your body starts to get tired because it builds up.
I can wake up at 3:30, maybe even 4, do a little prep work the night before, and I can sleep in an extra hour. So here we are. So let's see. Where was I? The point I was making there, Kelly Madigan, the Inspector General, of course, the former Inspector General, because she's on her way to Howard County now, but 350 active contracts from the start of January 2022 through to the end of 2025, almost half lacked any compliance. That's any at all compliance-related documentation. And of the remaining contracts with some compliance report, Madigan's office found that only a small percentage of the contract files appeared to have enough documentation. Because the PRISM system was not fully integrated with the county financial systems, Madigan wrote that any funds spent by the county on the software were, quote, at minimum, not a good use of county resources and arguably a waste of funds. So there you go. She also went on to say, quote, compliance on these contracts is essential. Without it, there is no way to ensure the contractors are abiding by the established MBE goals and the rules governing the MBE program, Madigan wrote. Quote, every contract should be reviewed for MBE compliance. Yes, she's making some obvious points. Another highlight, I have to give credit to Kelly Madigan here because, I mean, it appears the work she was doing throughout the last several years. I mean, she's spot on with this. She's right on track. And we're sad. Hopefully the guy that's replacing her is going to do the same. But, and to the county council's credit, they have seemed, from a council perspective, to embrace Kelly Madigan and the work that she's doing. They did support her. But now the whoever the next county executive is going to be is going to have to embrace the role of an inspector general, because the people, whether it's the federal government, we've known there's so much waste and abuse, but how it trickles down from state to county level, the people, the taxpayers throughout the country, but especially in Baltimore County, we're just tired of it. We're tired of the fraud and abuse. We're tired of the waste, whether it's actual fraud being committed one way or another, waste should not be tolerated. And the report here recommended prioritizing compliance and an operational audit of the unit and PRISM, which is something Madigan suggested in 2023. It also suggested that the county administration hold contractors accountable for failing to meet program goals and mandatory reporting through penalties. And she's absolutely right. And that's the same if we want to talk, which we'll get to, in Minnesota. And these Somali daycare centers, for example, there needs to be penalties. And I'm going to touch on a story about later on in the show, Caroline Leavitt, the president's press secretary, what she had to say about the president and what she thinks should happen to some of these Somali immigrants in this particular case. But it goes for everybody that's committing the fraud and stealing from you, the taxpayer, what should happen. And there needs to be consequences. Absolute consequences. And in my next story, what we need to see in this case, where we have Maryland procurement offices, is the headline again from the Baltimore Sun, lost millions. At some point, again, just because there's millions of dollars of waste may not necessarily mean that somebody's pocketing the money in their back pocket. It may just be complete lackluster performance and a lack of really competence on some of these bureaucrats' parts. But if that's the case, it's just almost as bad as stealing, where it's just a complete waste of your money, which means that they have to go. Our state government should be replaced with competent workers, people that are going to make sure that every dollar and every penny is accounted for. We're certainly not seeing that with the incompetence of Governor Wes Moore and his inability to manage the state government. And it's being exposed completely by these audits. I mean, a recent legislative audit by the Maryland Office of State Procurement. Or I'm sorry, this recent audit. You're going to look at this when we come back in a moment. You're going to listen here how the Maryland's Office of State Procurement failed to oversee more contracts. Yep. But before we go any further, we're going to check in with our local news. Nino Mangione, you are listening to Casey and Company on WCBN.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Turmoil in Iran, where violent demonstrations have erupted as the Islamic Republic's economy crumbles. President Trump is threatening U.S. intervention. On Truth Social, he writes that if Iran violently kills peaceful his government is open to reaching an agreement with the U.S. to combat drug trafficking. There have been some very dramatic high-water rescues in San Diego as floodwaters rage. On Wall Street this morning, the Dow futures are up 189 points. More details, srnnews.com.
I know that hiring can be challenging. You sort through tons of resumes and you get too many so-so applicants. You're just waiting for someone to match your role perfectly. Well, now, there's a place where you can meet them fast. ZipRecruiter.
Need to hire right away. Start your search for strong candidates. The right fit awaits. Build your team. Build it sooner. Meet your match on ZipRecruiter.
Just head to ZipRecruiter.com/free right now to try it for free. And you're on your way to meeting your match. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. So try it now. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/free. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Meet your match on ZipRecruiter. Try it free.
Your Fox 45 forecast, a mix of sun and clouds today, a chilly one with highs in the upper 30s. Mostly cloudy and frigid tonight as lows drop into the low 20s. Mostly cloudy for the start of your weekend on Saturday with a chance for some flurries later in the evening. Otherwise, still chilly with highs in the upper 30s. Some sun returns for your Sunday with highs near 40. From the Fox 45 Weather Authority, I'm meteorologist Amy Aronson for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
At WCBM, we stand for freedom, hard work, and the businesses that keep our community strong. The local businesses that support WCBM share our values. They believe in you, just like you believe in America. So when you need a service, a product, or a meal out, support the businesses that support WCBM. Your dollars stay local, help hardworking Americans, and keep conservative talk radio alive. Check out our trusted sponsors at WCBM.com and tell them you heard them on WCBM. Because when we stand together, we thrive together.
Stay connected and informed. Listen to Talk Radio 680 or stream us on your PC, tablet, or phone at WCBM.com. Now, back to more of Casey and Company on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, welcome back, everyone. Nino Mangione filling in today on WCBM 680 for Sean Casey, Casey and Company in the morning. 410-922-6680 is the call-in number. Again, 410-922-6680 or 1-800-WCBM-680, toll-free. And let's see, with the studio email, am680@WCBM.com, and you can text in the show using the WCBM app, which you can obviously download for free. And, of course, stream us on WCBM online and check us out on the WCBM Facebook page. So Gary Stein is not in for sports, but a little bit of a sports update here is that Lamar Jackson it looks like. After gradually returning to practice this week, Baltimore finally got some news it was waiting for. Thursday, Jackson told reporters he is 100% ready to play on Sunday for the Ravens against the Pittsburgh Steelers. So that is good news. We'll see what happens. Sunday night, Ravens Steelers, winner goes to the playoffs. So before the break, I was talking about this story that the Baltimore Sun was reporting about the Maryland's Office of State Procurement, how it failed to oversee contracts to enforce procurement rules and collect millions in required fees over several years. So first, I touched on the story with Baltimore County, almost $1 million wasted. Here we are from our state perspective here, where now we're seeing millions of dollars where they're not collecting required fees. Long-standing problems that have been flagged but left uncorrected, according to a recent legislative audit, where the audit released this month by the Office of Legislative Audit examined procurement practices, including competitive bidding, transparency, and required documentations at the Department of General Services Office of State Procurement from November 2021 through January 2025. So basically the time Wes Moore has been in the office. The auditors found that the office mismanaged the rollout of the eMaryland Marketplace Advantage, a statewide procurement system the Maryland Board of Public Works approved in 2019. Says here that the 10-year contract was later scrapped after the state paid $32.5 million. That's $32.5 million for a system that auditors said, quote, did not function as intended. The state, quote, did not attempt to recover any of these costs or excess liquidated damages, the audit found. So $32 million, auditors say it didn't function as intended, and how do we fix the problem? Well, they didn't attempt to recover any of the damages. Unbelievable. Then the auditors also cited an improper arrangement involving, here we are again, from the local to state level, minority business enterprise subcontractor that was used to bypass certain procurement rules, which resulted in, quote, unnecessary and excessive administrative costs that outweighed the cost of services up to 106%. So other findings included at least $2 million in uncollected administrative fees, failure to monitor agency procurements, late or missing public postings of contract awards, undocumented sole source contracts, and inadequate oversight of disability preference contracts, including $16.5 million paid on 8 contracts with, listen to this one, quote, no hours worked by disabled individuals. Tens of millions of dollars in just this one audit. Who knows where the hell it's going? It's not being accounted for. No oversight. No hours worked by disabled individuals in fiscal 2024 in this particular example. And what happens? Does anybody lose their job? No. Do they keep electing the same Democrats that run the state? Yes. Do things get better? No. The same old, failed, inadequate, big government bureaucracy. And what is the answer in Annapolis? Keep feeding the beast. Keep funding, growing the size of government. We could have had cuts across the board to balance the budget. We obviously see waste and fraud and abuse in state government. How about 3 to 5, 6% cuts in these government agencies? Instead, they tax the hell out of you, increase fees. And what do we get for our money? Reports like this where audits see tens of millions. And just one particular example, down the drain. We're not getting our money's worth. And now all of a sudden in an election year, oh, we're going to look to make some real significant cuts. We're not going to tax increase and fee increase. No, 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 no. Well, my God, you just taxed vending machines just last session. This audit comes just a few weeks after a similar review of state procurements found more than 40 state government entities operating outside the usual oversight spent a combined $8.5 billion last fiscal year with few consistent safeguards in place. That right there is the million or billion dollar, $8 billion question. Again, the audit comes just a few weeks after a similar review of state procurements found that more than 40 state government entities operating outside of the usual oversight spent a combined $8.5 billion last fiscal year with few safeguards in place. Now, what is that saying? Is that saying that all $8.5 billion is being stolen or wasted or abused? No. But if you do not have consistent safeguards in place, if you're not aware of where every penny is going, I mean, I'm not a mathematician, but $8.5 billion, just 5, 10% of that. Hell, let's say 20%. You're looking at hundreds of millions of dollars. Could easily be into the billions where it is complete waste. And when you're looking at a $1.4 billion budget deficit, when you're looking at a record tax increase like we saw with Governor Moore and the Democrats last session, if you rein in some of this abuse and fraud and wasted spending, then maybe we wouldn't have to keep pillaging you the tax, your back pocket coming in and raiding you after you've worked your butt off to pay the taxes and pay the fees and try to support your families, live a decent life in this very expensive state. If we just would rein in some of this, then maybe you'd be able to keep a little bit more of your hard-earned money. Both findings, again, come as the state faces a projected $1.4 billion budget deficit, intensifying scrutiny over how agencies manage taxpayer dollars and how lawmakers will balance next year's budget. Yep, there we go. So from Baltimore County to the state level, there's examples of hundreds of thousands, examples of tens of millions, and examples of billions being spent without the proper oversight. And is there any sign on the horizon that we're going to rein that in? Unfortunately, the answer is no. So from the billions to the tens of billions, look at the federal level. Yes, the federal level, for example, just discovered this past week was fraudulent payments at HUD. Yes, we've discovered at HUD just this week that $5 billion in fraudulent payments in 2024 alone under Joe Biden. That's just 1 year under Joe Biden. Payment errors of over 11%. I mean, think about how much money is involved in this program. $5.2 billion, it says here, to inactive accounts. $77 million to deceased tenants. $150 million to non-existent Social Security numbers. $288 million to excessively high rents. I mean, the fact is, this is why we needed DOGE. We need a DOGE housing. This is completely unacceptable. And that's just 1 year of the Biden administration. Can you imagine 4 years of Joe Biden? Can you imagine what took place over 8 years of the Obama administration? Just unbelievable. But before we go any further, we're going to check in with the Fox 45 Weather Authority forecast. Today, we're looking at a mix of sun and clouds, chilly with highs in the upper 30s with the overnight temperatures in the lower 20s. Tomorrow, we're looking at mostly cloudy, high in the upper 30s with flurries possible in the evening. That is our Fox 45 Weather Authority forecast. You are listening to Nino Mangione. I am filling in today for Sean Casey, Casey and Company. Sean is back on Monday to take over the reins again behind the saddle here. I'm going to check in with the email today. Marty emails in. He says, you mean like former governor wasting $12 million tax dollars or flawed South Korean test kits?
All right, point taken there. He also, let's see, does this Marty emails in? Many of the audits showed problems that date back to the Hogan administration and continued. Oh, I lost it here. All right, let's see. Continued in the Moore administration. That is correct. It's not just Westmore. I mean, the state of Maryland's government has seen for years now the inability to manage the money. Of course, the Democrat supermajority right now, and has been in complete control, even under to Governor Hogan's credit, there was the Democrat supermajority that was making the decisions where they had the ability to override Governor Hogan's vetoes. For example, Kerwin being the one. Kerwin is what got us into this mess financially, and the Governor Hogan at the time did the right thing. He vetoed the bill, yet the Democrats overrode Governor Hogan. So the responsibility in the state of Maryland, I mean, it's easy for me to say, but as an elected Republican, but the responsibility right now is solely 100% to blame on the Democrats and Governor Moore having this supermajority, having complete control of government, and the blame is, it has to be on them. It has to be on them. So I want to play this clip from Fox News about the abuse in HUD. Kristen, do we have that clip? Let's play.
About $77 million in payments to around 30,000 dead tenants. About $150 million was paid out to people with non-existent social security numbers, and around $288 million was paid to support excessively high rent. But according to HUD, the vast majority of these incorrect payments, $5.2 billion of them, were made to people with inactive SAM.gov accounts, the government website where people can register for assistance. The payments that are being scrutinized here fall under two programs, tenant-based rental assistance and project-based rental assistance. Project-based rental assistance subsidizes housing units so low-income individuals can afford them, with the government paying the property owner, and then tenant-based rental assistance goes directly to the person in need. In total, HUD sent out around $50.4 billion in rental assistance payments in 2024 to more than 204,000 individuals. The potential error flagged by HUD would make up for around 11.5% of these payments. Secretary Turner said in a statement, HUD will continue investigating the shocking results and will take appropriate action to hold bad actors accountable.
All right, so we've been talking about this exploding scandal in Minnesota, these Somali-run daycare centers. I mean, that was examples of the billions of fraud in housing in for HUD. And then you look at the daycare centers that are raking in millions, tens of millions, hundreds of millions of your tax dollars. Were, you know, the empty buildings, the misspelled signs, the money just vanishing into thin air. Who knows where? We've always known there's waste, fraud, and abuse in big government programs. Really, it's baked in the cake when it comes to Congress handing out free money. No oversight. But now, thank God, help from citizen journalists shining a bright light on the full extent of this grift. Billions stolen, billions. Whether it's food programs, autism services, housing, phantom daycares. And it's not just a few bad apples. Prosecutors say most of the defendants in Minnesota, for example, or the Somali community, and they were the ones exploiting the rules. Tim Walz and the Democrats let it run wild, really, for years. On the federal level, I mean, we're looking at hundreds of billions, maybe even more. You have people like Elon Musk and others. I mean, look at Doge. They're trying. They had an attempt to try to rein some of this in, and they were treated as public enemy number one for trying to make sure your tax dollars weren't being wasted. I've never seen anything like what I saw and could never have imagined turning somebody like Elon Musk into an enemy. You see the stupid bumper stickers on people's cars driving a Tesla that say, oh, I bought the Tesla before I knew Elon was crazy. Crazy for wanting to save the taxpayer money. It's crazy. That is what's crazy. And actually, let's go to the calls. Mike in Nottingham wants to talk a little bit about Elon Musk and some of the fraud estimates. Mike, good morning. Happy New Year. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Nino. Happy New Year.
Thank you.
I think I heard that Elon Musk said he believes there's $1.4 trillion in waste, fraud, and abuse every year in federal spending. Did you hear that?
Actually, I did hear that, Mike. That is a great point. Just a couple days ago, I think he posted on Twitter something along the lines of that he believes there's, you know, the fraud number nationally is almost as high as 15, maybe 20% of the federal budget, which you're right, he mentioned equates probably to about 1.4 to 1.5 trillion, and that's per year.
Yes.
Per year.
Yeah.
And that's what he's talking about. These, you know, programs like the entitlement programs where there's tons of fraud with health care, whether it's daycare, elder care, some of these grants he was talking about. And these are programs that in many cases the American people would be perfectly happy to see some of their tax dollars go to take care of people that need help, whether it's daycare or elder care. However, this system is being abused where maybe it requires a small amount of money, and they're getting 10 times the amount, and nobody knows what the hell's happening with the money. I mean, there are so many examples of that, and that's what he is referring to. And, Mike, stay on the line if you can. I'm going to talk a little bit more about this issue when we return, but for now, we got to take a quick break. Nino Mangione filling in for Sean Casey, Casey and Company.
Looking for a fun, family-friendly day out? Visit the Pennsylvania Dutch Market in Cockeysville, your one-stop destination for authentic Amish food, friendly faces, and over 20 stalls filled with handcrafted goods. Enjoy fresh flowers, fruits, veggies, and the best seafood and meats around, plus sweet treats baked fresh daily. The smell will draw you in, and the experience will keep you coming back. Open Thursday and Friday 9 to 6 and Saturday 8 to 4. The Pennsylvania Dutch Market. So much to see, smell, and savor. The Sean Hannity Show.
We have to remember that Trump is the guy who ushered in the era of fake news.
They are the ones that peddled the phony news. The irony of all of it is none of these people have come to the realization yet that legacy media died. And it is dead. It is gone. It is buried.
Sean Hannity, weekdays 3 to 6 on Talk Radio 680 WCPM.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Nino Mangione filling in for Casey and Company here, where the local call-in number is 410-922-6680. You can also email in the station am680 at wcbm.com or text into the show using the WCBM mobile app. You can follow us or listen to us on the WCBM stream. And, of course, follow WCBM if you are not already on the WCBM social media pages. The caller, I think he had to run, but he made a great point what he was referring to. And I just commented on Elon Musk made, well, he tweeted out over the week or earlier this week about how he believes the estimates. And remember, he would probably have a good, he was given the keys to the kingdom, so to speak, when he had his time with Doge. And I wanted to reiterate just how absurd it was. And it wasn't just coming from the wacky loony leftists that may have owned the Tesla or the ones keying the Teslas. How about that? Remember? And never any pushback from elected officials when you had these lunatics going to Tesla dealerships and protesting, keying Teslas in the malls. And somebody parks a Tesla in a mall parking lot and they just hate Elon Musk so much that they were keying some random person's car. 40, 50, 60, 70. Some of these Teslas are extremely expensive. They're beautiful cars. Keying them because they don't like that Elon Musk is out there trying to save taxpayers' money? It's insane. It's insane. But we'll check in real quick now with the Fox 45 Weather Authority forecast with today a mix of sun and clouds, chilly with highs in the upper 30s, overnight temps in the lower 20s, with tomorrow mostly cloudy, high in the upper 30s with flurries possible in the evening. That is the Fox 45 Weather Authority forecast. So you are listening to Nino Mangione filling in for Sean Casey and Casey and Company. So Musk claimed to, through by using Doge, have uncovered, hundreds of not only fraud schemes, but he aim to try to eliminate over $1 trillion in waste and fraud annually. That was kind of his goal. And, you know, fraud, I mean, DOGE is probably the only agency we really need in government, for God's sakes. Government efficiency. I mean, this is why we have examples. Well, first of all, they ran the debt in Congress up to 30 plus trillion. 30 some trillion dollars that is going to be required to pay for by your kids, your grandkids. And the moment somebody like President Trump comes along trying to do something about it, and you have talented entrepreneurs like Musk who had talented young workers who, and in one case they had one of the guys was a billionaire giving up time from his company that he started, and some of these brainiac youngsters that that were in that organization just trying to do the work on behalf of the taxpayer. And what happens? They get shouted at, cussed at. The one got beat up. I don't know if that was just a random accident because of the crime was so bad in D.C. And then you have, I'm going off topic here, then you have a situation where the crime's so bad in D.C. has been for years. You have a president who sends in the National Guard to try to clean up crime. And then you get situations where politicians and the Democrat side of the aisle, like Governor Moore and others, are ridiculing the hell out of a president for making Washington, D.C., the nation's capital, safer. First, they're against reining in government waste, fraud, and abuse. Then they're against public safety. Then they're defending the actions of the violent left. It's unbelievable. But let's check in back to the calls, 410-922-6680 with Bruce in Timonium, who wants to talk about some of the fraud. Bruce, good morning. Happy New Year.
Good morning, Nino. Happy New Year to you, too.
Thank you.
Just quick observation here. With the level of fraud, the amount of money that's going out, and I think one of the statistics you cited was how many billions went out to like unregistered or unknown social security numbers, money that's being paid out directly to landlords that is fraudulent. How much of this money is going to organized crime, gangs, and terrorists?
Well, that's a great question. We have no idea because there's so much of this money that is just divvied out with so little oversight. And, you know, I bet you they're going to find out. For example, you look in Minnesota. I mean, I don't have this to be a 100% fact. However, we know that, well, one thing is a fact, Bruce, is that Somalia is a war-torn terrorist, a country filled with terrorists. And some of that money that I'm sure some of the fraud, the money fraudulently given away in Minnesota is probably ending up back in Somalia and probably in the hands of some of these warlords. There's no telling how we account for it. But you're right.
And my concern is how much of this money are the American taxpayers paying out, and they're paying for a threat to their own democracy and lifestyle?
Exactly. And, I mean, there's no telling where some of the money is going. And that's the whole point I was just making about Elon Musk. You had somebody and an organization come in here trying to actually put real oversight and real efforts towards honing this waste and abuse in, and they're ran out of town. Like, they're public enemy number one.
Right. Right.
I mean, can you, what kind of country would tolerate that? What kind of country? I mean, and people on our side of the aisle, and this isn't just people that are political. There's a lot of Americans that are hitting a breaking point because, and they're not, this isn't just Republican, conservative, or Republican versus Democrat, liberal, conservative. This is just your average American saying, I work too damn hard to not be able to keep more of that money to pay for my bills, my children, their education, to keep the lights on at our house. We have no idea where the money is going. And that's as much of a problem, Bruce, as money being stolen to begin with. Either way, it is an absolute problem where people need to be held accountable. Government needs to be held accountable. Bureaucracy, it's out of control.
I agree. Have a great day, Nino.
Bruce, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. You're listening to Nino Mangione filling in for Sean Casey on Casey and Company. I'm discussing how fraud, waste, and abuse from the local, state, federal level is just pushing people to say enough is enough, how it really adds up, how there are real-life consequences when all of this. I mean, there are so many examples. What was one that that came up was the Feeding Our Future scandal. That was where $250 million was meant to feed hungry kids during COVID. Money like that was I mean, remember, yeah, how much money did we find out with all the, you know, fraud with that money? People were buying luxury cars, trips overseas, viral videos now showing daycare with zero children, the fraud there. Checks keep getting cashed. When's people are going to start going to jail? We have brave citizen journalists, thank God, exposing it. Trump administration is jumping in, it looks like. We need more of it. But you're listening to Nino Mangione. We'll be back on Casey and Company in just a minute.
This is the right choice for Maryland.
Talk Radio 680, WCBN, Baltimore.
Breaking news this hour from Town Hall. I'm Rich Thomason. Swiss authorities are investigating the deadly New Year's morning fire in a popular night spot in the Alps. Around 40 people were killed, more than 100 injured.
The authorities are ruling out an attack, but there was a suggestion from them that it could be what's called in English a blaze over, in which a fire starts and then spreads in a flash, so that the air is sucked out and everything that is able to burn, that is combustible, ignites. And certainly some of the survivors reported that they saw the flames, a few flames, and they were then surrounded.
The BBC's Imogen Folks. Escalating his tax the rich rhetoric, New York City's Democrat Socialist Mayor Zohran Mamdani, at his public swearing-in ceremony, promises universal child care and free mass transit, among other giveaways. The new year brings with it higher health care expenses for millions of Americans.
When the calendar turned to 2026, enhanced tax credits for enrollees in the Affordable Care Act expired. Congress and the White House squabbled over the issue, but ultimately took no action. As a result, Obamacare premiums are rising by more than 100%, according to the research group KFF. The end of those pandemic-era subsidies affects a cross-section of Americans who don't get their health insurance from an employer and don't qualify for Medicaid or Medicare. Greg Clugston, Washington.
A mountain lion attack is suspected in the death of a woman hiking alone in the northern Colorado mountains. Her body was found by other hikers along a remote section of the trail south of the small community of Glen Haven. On Wall Street this morning, the Dow futures are up 214 points, NASDAQ futures 268 points higher. More on these stories at townhall.com.
They say timing is everything in the gold and silver markets, and it's true. Dennis Prager here for AmFed Coin and Bullion. Although you can buy at the right time, if you buy the wrong coins, you may not make a profit. When gold was $400 an ounce, many people were talked into buying high-grade old gold and silver collector coins. Unfortunately, most of the people who bought these so-called semi-numismatic coins, like the $20 St. Gaudens and Liberty Head gold coins, have not broken even on their investment. Incredible, given that gold has risen approximately 525% since then. So while timing is everything, if you buy the wrong coins, the timing simply doesn't matter. Having a dealer who cares about positioning you in the right types of coins or bullion will mean more to your portfolio than anything else. That's why I deal with Nick Rovich and AmFed Coin and Bullion. Whether you're buying or selling, call 800-221-7694. That's 800-221-7694. Or go to AmericanFederal.com.
Iran is rocked by violent protests breaking out all across the country.
Protests over Iran's struggling economy have sprouted into rural areas with at least three people killed and multiple arrests. The protests began due to economic pressures with Iran's currency rapidly depreciating, with one U.S. dollar now costing roughly 1.4 million reals. The most intense violence appeared to strike in an area southwest of Tehran. There are online videos reporting to show objects in the street ablaze and gunfire echoing as people shouted "shameless." The demonstrations are the largest since 2022. Iran's government media has not reported on the violence in some areas. Reports from other media sources has been sparse. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
Venezuela is open to reaching an agreement with the U.S. to fight drug trafficking. That, according to President Nicolas Maduro, facing increasing pressure from the Trump administration. News and analysis, townhall.com. Analysts expect AI will continue playing a big role in the markets this year.
Wall Street closed out another banner year for stocks on Wednesday with a downbeat finish that extended the market's recent losing streak to a fourth day. Just the same, the major U.S. stock indexes all finished with strong gains for the year. Wall Street's 2025 gains came as investors embraced the optimism surrounding artificial intelligence and its potential for boosting profits across almost all sectors moving forward. Bob Agner reporting.
Farmers are now learning how much aid they can expect to receive from a $12 billion package that President Trump recently announced. The Agriculture Department is out with the figures on how much aid per acre farmers can plan. The details did arrive after most farmers already met with their bankers to arrange financing for next year's crops, and they placed orders for the seed and the fertilizer that they will need. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Your Fox 45 forecast, a mix of sun and clouds today, a chilly one with highs in the upper 30s, mostly cloudy and frigid tonight as lows drop into the low 20s, mostly cloudy for the start of your weekend on Saturday with a chance for some flurries later in the evening, otherwise still chilly with highs in the upper 30s. Some sun returns for your Sunday with highs near 40. From the Fox 45 Weather Authority, I'm meteorologist Amy Aronson for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Hey, Sean Hannity here. You know, right now we have a politically divided country, trade wars, stock market uncertainty, tax changes, and the list goes on. Now, do you think that these world affairs have any effect on your financial affairs? Look, if you're not prepared, you could be in for a very rude awakening. Now, you've saved and been able to grow your money. You don't want to have to make it again. Call my guys,
Rod Barowi
and Paresh Shaw with the Safe Retirement Solutions team. Now, Rod and Paresh, now they're published authors, radio hosts right here on WCBM. Now they can show you how Wall Street's fuzzy math could derail your entire retirement plan. Now, do you want to get a handle on your retirement? Call the Safe Retirement Solutions team. Call them now at 410-266-1120. That's 410-266-1120. Schedule an in-person or a Zoom visit. That's 410-266-1120. Or check them out online at SafeRetirementSolutions.com.
Hi, it's Sean Casey. Join me on Thursday, February 5th at Liberatore's in Timonium for the second annual Taste of the Union. It's an evening built around good food and straightforward conversation about where Maryland is headed. You'll enjoy a full Italian buffet. Then Kim Klasick and I will walk through the issues that matter to families, taxpayers, and local businesses. If you want clear, common-sense discussion in a relaxed setting, get your tickets today at WCBM.com. Taste of the Union is presented by the Smile Design Center and Lorien Health Services.
From Columbia to Germantown, from Fort Meade to ABG, this is the right choice for Maryland.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Welcome back. This is Casey and Company on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Welcome back, everyone. Nino Mangione filling in today for Sean Casey on Casey and Company. 410-922-6680 is the call-in number, am680@wcbm.com. And you can text in the show using the WCBM app. Stream WCBM online at wcbm.com. And, of course, follow WCBM on all of their social media pages. So today, January 2nd, 2026, Happy New Year to everybody. The theme for today's show has been based, I mean, I've said the words waste, fraud, and abuse, I guess, 100 times already, but I'm going to keep shouting those three words because what we have in this country right now, and I've highlighted and emphasized the point, it's local, it's state, it's national or federal, whatever you want to call it, where so much money is being wasted away with so little oversight, sometimes criminal, sometimes just, as I said, waste, abuse. But you have situations where, I mean, the pushback was ferocious when Elon Musk stepped up to lead Doge. Think about that. The Department of Government Efficiency. They screamed bloody murder because they knew he was exposing the waste. And that's really what's funding this big government empire, if you want to call it, where we need DOGE back in full force. I mean, cutting the fat, firing bureaucrats who look the other way. That's a major point I was trying to make. Just because you cannot have a situation when they're either purposely or incompetently looking the other way. They absolutely need to prosecute any of the fraudsters to the fullest extent. Lock them up. We need to start clawing back every dime. I did an example earlier of a state audit. It was over $32 million pretty much wasted, and they did nothing to claw back the money. American tax money is not for grifters, although we're finding out it sure as hell is, unfortunately. Hardworking Americans are fed up. They are sick and tired of seeing their money wasted away, outright stolen. Roads are crumbling. You know, we have bridges falling apart. Infrastructure rots away in this country. We can't fix a damn thing. And in this state, they can't do anything, fix anything without begging for more taxes. They keep coming back to the same well, your back pocket. So the waste, fraud, and abuse, in many cases the grift, continues to roll on. I mean, when is enough enough? I just went on the Baltimore Sun's website. The Baltimore Sun's website, the first headline here, the main story, after scathing audit, Baltimore's Lewis Museum says most financial issues addressed. So what you have here basically, to summarize here, an audit at Baltimore's Reginald F. Lewis Museum says it has addressed most financial control problems that led to suspected employee theft. The August 2025 audit found lax practices, including pre-signed and unsecured blank checks, questionable credit card charges, and payments diverted to an employee's personal payment account, PayPal account. Museum leaders said 12 of the audit's 18 recommendations have been implemented with others underway. Changes include eliminating pre-signed checks, securing blank checks, and tightening financial oversight. The employees suspected of misconduct are no longer with the museum, and the findings were referred to the Maryland Attorney General for possible criminal investigations, though no charges have been confirmed. Well, he's too busy suing the damn Trump administration to go after these fraudsters. I have more on that later, the Attorney General Anthony Brown. But what's important to know is this is a quasi-government institution, the museum here, where 50% of its budget comes from taxpayers. And then now the state funding is over $2.7 million annually. A lot of it's private donations as well. But you have the auditors, they're criticizing this issue. Well, many issues at the museum. And again, this is just another example. Another small example. When you add up small examples, for whether it's tens of thousands to hundreds of thousands to a couple million to tens of millions, you eventually get into the billions. You eventually get this to budget deficits. You eventually get to a situation where the state of Maryland has to increase your taxes by a record and fees by a record number, which is what they did last year. And how much could be avoided if this fraud and abuse was not happening? I mean, everywhere we're looking, whether it's government agents, whether it's our state departments or museums that are funding by the state. What else is all these nonprofits? We've heard a lot recently about the nonprofits. $8.5 billion being spent without the proper oversight. I mean, this is why your registration fees are going up. It's why you buy a bag of potato chips and it costs you 6% sales tax and a vending machine. Everywhere we look. But before we go to the calls, let's check in right now with the Fox 45 Weather Authority forecast. We're looking today with a mix of sun and clouds, chilly with highs in the upper 30s. The overnight temps in the lower 20s with tomorrow mostly cloudy, highs in the upper 30s with flurries possible in the evening. That is the Fox 45 Weather Authority forecast. So we are back. You are listening to Nino Mangione filling in for Sean Casey, Casey and Company. And this waste, fraud, and abuse, that's been the theme so far of the entire show. But I've been fortunate enough, in one regard, that there's so much waste, fraud, and abuse going on that it's kept me busy for an hour and 15 minutes here without having to be too repetitive with the stories, because we had different audits from the state, Baltimore County, where there was waste going on, the inspector general discovered. Here I just talked about what's going on in the museum in Baltimore City, where it's receiving state funds. I talked a little bit on the national level about HUD, plenty more. Wait till I get to what's coming out of San Francisco. And it's coming to Maryland. We just saw it. We just saw the vote at the special session. I just want to tease that, because you're going to want to hold on to your steering wheel if you're driving. Hold on to your seats when I report what's coming out of San Francisco. Before I do that, I want to check in again with the calls, 410-922-6680. We have Tim in the Eastern Shore. Tim, welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Good morning. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. I think.
Thank you.
You're beating this thing like a drum, which is good, but I'm going to put a spin on it. I am not only tired, but I'm fed up like everybody else. But it is time that we succeed from the state of Maryland and cut the money source off, because I think we have an absolute federal case going to the U.S. Supreme Court now with Trump in office. We're in even better shape. But the thing is this. He wants to remove our delegate, who's a Republican, and make it all Democrat. Right there is taxation without representation. That right there will get us across the line. Then, with all the waste, fraud, abuse, that's another issue that we can bring up. We have enough right now that you can separate from Washington County all across the top of the state, go to Cecil County, make a hard turn down, go all the way to the beach, and it will succeed. Now, I know that poor Solomon's Island, those guys down there are going to freak out. They're gonna be like, don't forget us. But the thing is, we talked about this years ago, but now it's so blatant. We have to do it. It's not, I mean, our grandchildren will not live comfortably, or God knows how they're going to live in this state 15, 20 years from now. They're going to be, this will be like New York, where they're putting, like New York City. And it'll just be totally out of control. And I think it's time that our very weak Republican representatives in the state house either clean them out, or line them up and say, look, you know, this is what we need to do and make this happen, because we can't afford it anymore. I mean, everything he's raised, all of our fees, I mean, we look like the biggest idiots in the country. And this guy and the Democrats are having a ball. It's time to put it to an end and succeed. And I think we can do it. What do you think?
Well, Tim, thank you very much for the call. You make an interesting point. I believe that's a little bit of wishful thinking for you to think that it's ever going to happen, that the Eastern Shore is going to succeed. I think the points you made, however, are based on the reality of the situation going on in this state. You have many parts throughout Maryland that are red. They're Republican. They do not look at what's happening in this state and as the values that represent their way of life. However, thanks to Montgomery County, thanks to Baltimore City, PG County, they dominate the discussion and the decision-making in Annapolis. You brought up, I mean, the idea of, yes, taxation without representation between independent and Republican voters, that makes up 40-some percent, I'd say, of the electorate. You made the point about now they're trying to get rid of Congressman Andy Harris, Governor Moore, and that charade about the redistricting. Also, we can keep up with Gavin Newsom and what's going on nationally for his political ambitions to redistrict. And you have, what, 7 out of 8 already congressmen running
that are Democrat and that control the offices in the state of Maryland. You have the governor, obviously, being a Democrat, the Democrats with supermajorities in the House of Delegates and in the Senate. You have the Attorney General, Democrat, of course, the state treasurer, Democrat, the U.S. senators being elected Democrats. And yet you have Wes Moore going out there talking about how we need fair representation, so we got to get rid of the one Republican. I've never heard of such a joke. But your point, again, about succeeding, it's never going to happen, so I won't go into any detail in that regard, but I do agree with the premise that you are not getting representation. And most of the people throughout the state, or many of the people throughout the state of Maryland that make up the majority of the geographical map in terms of being red and Republican, are not getting the representation that the majority of the people, because they're in and been bought and paid for in terms of the liberal Democrat philosophy in these big cities. Well, in Montgomery County, the liberal rich elite, the Prince George's County and Baltimore City, where the Democrats, through a number of ways, have, well, in one way, big governments bought off the vote. I mean, those areas control and dominate state politics, unfortunately. Unfortunately. So, let's see, we have, well, Dan in Westminster, hold on just a moment. We're going to be back taking your call when I return here. You're listening to Nino Mangione filling in for Sean Casey and Casey and Company.
Joe Hartman here, owner of Perry Hall Investment Group. Now is a great time to sell your unwanted property for top dollar with no commissions or fees. Call me today at 410-989-5200. That's 410-989-5200.
The Sage from South Central is back on your radio. Hi, Larry Elder here. I run for governor of California and for president. I know what it takes to turn this country around. Join me every Sunday night at 10 as we discuss the most important issues in this pivotal election year. Let's get to work. We've got a country to save. Tune in to the Larry Elder Show only on Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
Welcome back, everyone. You are listening to Nino Mangione filling in for Sean Casey, Casey and Company. The call-in number 410-922-6680. Email in the studio, am680 at wcbm.com. You can also stream on the wcbm.com website. Download the WCBM app where you can text in the show as well. So let's go back to the calls. We have Dan in Westminster who wants to discuss how we go about clawing back some of the money. Dan, Happy New Year. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you.
Good morning.
You made the suggestion that we really need to try to get some of this money back, but just how are we going to do it? This was billions of dollars that went overseas in cash. The State Department would have to get involved and go to the banks in Somalia or go to the government in Somalia to have them go after the banks, as I understand it, because you know, the money's traceable because of the volume of it. But how are you going to do that?
Well, no, you make a good point in terms of how you... Well, they have to use... We have the resource, and I think they are going after... from when I heard, what's his name, Bessent... what is he, Treasury? Is that what he is? I don't know. He was on the other day talking about how they do have investigations going on where they are trying to see where some of this money in different, some of these different examples of the fraud was going overseas. And they are in the process of doing some of that. And I think, and you're, some of my overall point there between getting the money back, I was also, and maybe I didn't articulate it the way I want, is in terms of stopping it from happening in the first place. Obviously, the, you're talking, in this particular case, is the money being stolen. But I'm talking in general about some of the ways. And over the years, we've listened to, well, over this past year, when Elon Musk, for example, I mean, fixing old computer systems was just one way. I'm talking about preventing some of this and then, of course, trying to claw back. And yes, we need investigations. Whether preventing some of this could mean, obviously, these outdated computer systems, more audits and checks, I think, and then obviously making sure that we're taking tips from whistleblowers, protecting those whistleblowers, making it easy, or easier, I should say, for the
anonymous people to come forward. But yeah, it's a big problem. We need to clean it up. We need to do everything possible to claw back that money. And if it means going or investigating and eventually figuring out where the money went and arresting these people, that's absolutely what has to happen. So thank you, Dan, for the call. We have to move on here to the Fox 45 Weather Authority forecast, where today we're looking at a mix of sun and clouds, chilly with highs in the upper 30s with overnight temperatures in the lower 20s. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, high in the upper 30s with flurries possible in the evening. So here we are today. So far, the entire theme has been just surrounded around where the money is going. And there is a story that I just came across yesterday that happened rather quietly around the Christmas holiday in San Francisco, where if you want to talk about the pinnacle of absolute waste, nothing tops what's potentially coming out of San Francisco, a city, by the way, that is drowning in many cases. There's examples of complete filth with littering. I mean, we've seen it over the years, drug needles, rampant, just, you know, the drug abuse, drug markets, I mean, homelessness. An exploding homeless crisis there that turned these tent cities. I mean, I saw it with my own eyes when I was in San Francisco years ago. It's only gotten worse, where you have these permanent homeless tent cities. Crime that has chased businesses out left and right. You had stupid politicians and legislation that made it harder to go after criminals unless they stole a certain amount of money or goods worth a certain amount of money. How stupid is that? It only encourages more crime. I mean, a once world-class gem of a city, now on life support, so many empty storefronts, and what are the liberal politicians doing? Well, the mayor and these other politicians very quietly pushed through this scheme, and I will go as far as say this morally bankrupt scheme, which is exactly what the Maryland General Assembly just did, just days before Christmas. Both the General Assembly and in San Francisco, in this case, the Democrat Mayor Daniel Lurie signs an ordinance creating a so-called reparations fund. But listen to this. This fund could potentially hand out up to $5 million to eligible black residents. Think about that. Oh, but people called us crazy. We said this could happen. We've been saying this could happen. And here's an ordinance, $5 million potentially, paid out to black residents. Of course, money paid to people who were never actually slaves. Where's the money going to come from? Well, potentially from taxpayers who never actually owned a slave. And in San Francisco, get this, this is how ridiculous this grift is. This is a state that never even had slavery. California, a little history lesson here, was a free state from the get-go. They never had slavery in California, and yet here they are, virtue signaling, with a plan that was rooted in this advisory committee when they dreamed up this insanity, and now he signs in this ordinance that could potentially lead to up to $5 million just for being a black resident. That certainly was never a slave. I mean, we're talking about potentially billions of dollars if this stupidity is actually implemented one day from a city staring down a massive $1 billion budget deficit, by the way. You know, roads, potholes, bridges, all those needs, public safety, you know, which is in the toilet there. But now let's set up a fund for massive payouts. Let's rob Peter of the PayPal based on slavery that hasn't existed in over 150 years. this guy, Mayor Lowry, or Lowry, whatever his name is, right now he swears, or he's claiming that the tax dollars aren't going into this fund, but it's waiting for these private donations. But let's be honest. I mean, this is classic left-wing grift, where what they've done here is they've created the framework for the fund. You know, they'll pat themselves on the back that they're acknowledging what's going on or what has happened with these harms to society based on slavery. I mean, obviously, we all agree slavery was horrible, but we also know we've come a long way in 150-plus years, and we've come a long way since what happened in the Civil Rights era. But they create this nonsense. They leave the door wide open for activists to demand funding later. He says right now it's not tax dollars. I mean, that's an insult because, well, it's an insult to every hardworking San Franciscan, especially the small business owners and, you know, footing the bill for all the other waste there. But the city can't even keep the lights on, and here they are with this affront, potentially punishing citizens for really yesterday's sins that they had zero part in, while ignoring the real crises of today. I'm going to have more on this in just a moment, and I'm going to break down how this affects Maryland as well. But you are listening to Nino Mangione's Sean Casey, Casey in the Morning and Company, filling in for Sean. Local news, back in a minute.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Swiss authorities are investigating the deadly New Year's morning fire in a popular night spot in the Alps. Around 40 people were killed, more than 100 injured. The blaze quickly engulfed a crowded bar in the Swiss resort town of Crans-Montana. Escalating his tax-the-rich rhetoric, New York City's Democrat-Socialist Mayor Zoran Mamdani, in his public swearing-in ceremony, promises universal child care and free mass transit, among other giveaways. The new year brings higher health care expenses for millions of Americans, with Obamacare COVID-era subsidies having expired, as they were scheduled to do by the Democrats. A mountain lion attack is suspected in the death of a woman hiking alone in the mountains of northern Colorado. Wall Street, Dow futures up 212 points. More details at srnnews.com.
You still thinking job change in the new year?
Yeah, I need something that's in high demand and more stable in this economy.
IT?
Yeah, cybersecurity, maybe even AI.
That's what I did.
Really? How?
Went to My Computer Career. You don't need any prior experience, and you could start your new career in a matter of months. A lot of IT pros go to school there, too, to level up.
Sweet. Are classes online or on campus?
Both.
Wow, I'll check it out. Thanks.
Make this your year. Take the free career evaluation now at mycomputercareer.edu. An elite CompTIA certification partner.
Financial aid is available to those who qualify, including VA benefits.
At Audion Hearing, our mission is simple: to make better hearing affordable for everyone. We're proud to offer high-quality, rechargeable hearing aids starting at just $98. Clear, comfortable, and ready to use right out of the box. And here's a study worth hearing. Research shows that wearing hearing aids can reduce your risk of dementia by up to 61%. Join over 1 million happy customers and hear the difference today by going to audionhearing.com. That's A-U-D-I-E-N hearing.com.
Your Fox 45 forecast, a mix of sun and clouds today, a chilly one with highs in the upper 30s. Mostly cloudy and frigid tonight as lows drop into the low 20s. Mostly cloudy for the start of your weekend on Saturday, with a chance for some flurries later in the evening. Otherwise, still chilly with highs in the upper 30s. Some sun returns for your Sunday with highs near 40. From the Fox 45 Weather Authority, I'm meteorologist Amy Aronson for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
You can listen to WCBM wherever you go, at home, at work, in the car, or at the gym. Take WCBM on vacation or on a walk, and don't miss a minute of your favorite shows live or on demand. Listen on AM 680, 99.9 FM in Harford County, WCBM.com, and the WCBM mobile app, or tell Alexa, Siri, or Google to play WCBM. Make the right choice. Talk Radio 680 WCBM at 99.9 FM in Harford County.
Now, back to more of Casey and Company on Talk Radio 680 WCVM.
In
Is it a late Christmas gift or a lump of coal? San Francisco's Democrat Mayor Daniel Lurie quietly signed an ordinance to create a reparations fund. It could potentially lead to $5 million payments to eligible black residents. However, paying for it may take some creative accounting. As the New York Post reports, the city's admitting it can't sign the checks as it's facing a $1 billion deficit.
Yep. I was just talking about reparations in San Francisco. You're listening to Nino Mangione, filling in for Sean Casey and company. And that clip right there. By the way, 410-922-6680 is the call-in number, and you can email the station, am680 at wcbm.com. Again, 410-922-6680. So that clip, that's from Fox News. It's about this conversation I just started in regards to this reparations ordinance. And you heard in the clip right there, San Francisco doesn't have the money. So rather than the mayor say, let's focus on the real issues, you know, well, let's focus on how about the crime issue or, I don't know, fentanyl killing people there or thieves looting stores in broad daylight, the empty storefronts. How about I sign into law this stupid reparations ordinance? Yes, he claims as of now it's not going to be money coming from the state taxpayer. It's a fund, and it's open to public, or I'm sorry, private donations. How much private donations do you think people are going to be willing to give to a reparations fund that is recommending up to $5 million? I mean, $5 million? You're looking at billions of dollars. Do you think they're going to get that through donations and foundations? No, give me a break. They created a framework here, and eventually, they're going to come ask to loot the tax coffers. That's the only way to get the money. I know it's just, again, virtue signaling here. They don't actually plan to, well, they claim they don't plan to use the money. They're not doing anything good here. But at some point, people are going to say, all right, well, you signed the ordinance. They made these recommendations. Where is our money? They're not going to have it. They're not going to have it at all unless they come for the tax dollar. And again, it's such an affront when the hardworking citizens punishing citizens today for what happened so long ago does nothing to better the future for all citizens of the city of San Francisco, the citizens or wherever this is being pushed. There are real problems that we face throughout the country, throughout the local communities, and they make priority these feel-good funds that do nothing but divide and bankrupt faster than they already are with their failed policies. And the thing is, that is exactly what we can expect in Maryland with the Reparations Commission that the Democrats passed earlier, well, last year in the session. Now I can say last year, we're in 2026, but they passed last year. Then the governor vetoed it for whatever reason, but he did the right thing. It, probably political on his part, but he knew that they were going to come back and override him. But the Democrats overrode the veto in the special session this past December without a single Republican vote. It is the Democrats in Maryland. If you're an independent voter, and you think reparations, like if you're like me and you think reparations is horrible policy, and you're tired of seeing the taxpayer get ripped off, you need to wake up to what is going on. They overrode the governor, and this type of garbage out of San Francisco is the blueprint as to what we can expect in the state of Maryland. They said $5 million, up to $5 million for individuals. Well, how much money is this reparations group going to recommend in Maryland? What will be the cost? Who knows? But what we do know is that we're a debt-ridden state, and we are struggling with a deficit over a billion. We just plugged the $1.6 billion of taxes and fees to plug the previous $3 billion deficit. We're going in a deficit this fiscal year. The structural deficit years down the line is several billion dollars. Yet they still pass the reparations bill, or they not only passed it, but then overrode the governor's veto. And then we're seeing the blueprint for reparations when people that have already done something throughout this, the country that are looking into the same ridiculous issue is all the way up to $5 million per person. So hold on to your wallets, Marylanders. That's what's coming in a few years. All right, 410-922-6680 is the call-in number. And don't forget that we are playing Choose Your Shocking News at 7:45, I believe. And you can call in now. Again, 410-922-6680. I need a contestant. The first caller gets a chance to win WCBM merchandise. So call now. Good luck. We'll get to that game in about 5 minutes. But for right now, we're going to go to Michael in Bel Air. Good morning and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Nino.
Thank you, Michael.
I just wanted to speak to Pam Bondi's inability to get things done, especially in Minnesota. She claims that they have 95 arrests and they've prosecuted 85 people, but it seems like every time they arrest somebody or do something, they make a big, big deal about it. This they did not, and they only did it after Nick Shirley had done his reporting. And it just seems like she's really not doing much, and that the same with Kash Patel. I mean, I know they're arresting a lot of low-level people, but there's none in the high levels. Like, no politicians are being arrested. They're not being prosecuted. I mean, you had Kash Patel come out and say that Schiff was the most crooked person he's ever met in politics. I don't see anything being done about him.
I think you make a good point, Michael, and especially in regards, like, for example, you make that point about the DOJ, as they charged around 100 people or almost, and most of them were Somali, and lots of convictions, it looks like, is coming. And then they did I think it was $250 million for the Feeding Our Future scam was related to some of the schemes. And remember when there was gambling and basketball, they had that huge press conference. I'm not sure why they didn't make as big a deal with this. And they should be holding a press conference with a picture of each individual, in particular Somali, that is convicted, and then they need to show the picture of him or her, whoever it is, being deported. They need to be kicked out. And I actually have audio on that, which I think you'll like to hear from Caroline Leavitt. Now they have to follow through with it, of what the president thinks should happen to those individuals. I'm going to play that in just a bit. But you're right. I think Pam Bondi, well, we'll see what happens here. She needs to absolutely use every bit of authority that she has to go after these people in terms of how it's connected. I mean, if there is evidence, which we'll find out, hopefully we'll find out, and thank you, Michael, for the call, that there were any elected officials that they have the evidence to tie them to this, where Tim Walz or Jacob Frey or Ilhan Omar, whoever. I mean, we know one way that this stuff happens, and I'm going to touch on this in a moment, is through political donations. You know, lots of these groups, I'm not sure, I haven't verified that it's actually 100% true, but I saw a tweet about how some of these daycare centers and such, how much money they were contributing back to politicians who were allowing the grift to continue. Well, if that can all be proven, and they can dot their I's, cross their T's, and trace it back to elected officials knowing what was going on, there absolutely needs to be prosecutions. This is not their own little private slush funds. This is the tax dollars. And Pam Bondi and Kash Patel, they have a job to do. And yes, Michael, it's not just going after some of the low-level people. They need to be able, if they can connect it to any elected officials, they need to be able to prosecute to the fullest extent of the law. Good call. Before we go any further, let's check in. Fox 45, a weather authority forecast, where today we have a mix of sun and clouds, chilly with highs in the upper 30s with overnight temperatures in the lower 20s. Tomorrow, mostly clouder with highs in the upper 30s with flurries possible in the evening. We are going to get back to the calls in just a minute. That was the Fox 45 Weather Authority forecast. But before we get back to the calls, hold on. Herb in Baltimore wants to talk a little bit about reparations. We have Scott on the line from Westminster, and it is time to play Choose Your Fake News. Three stories, one of which is not true. Identify the fake story to win. Kristen is going to play with us, and Scott in Westminster, welcome. Happy New Year. Do you want to go first? Or second, I guess we only have two people. So it's you, Kristen, and the audience today.
I'll go second. And Nino, you know, I wanted to thank you for the donation from...
That, Scott. Yeah, yes. Scott.
Thank you so much for that.
You are very welcome, Scott. You're talking for the audience here that you were helping run one of the a veterans charity. We were happy to donate to that charity. And I remember you told me in the email you guys had a hell of an event, raised $4,000 or $5,000, something like that. I forget what it was.
For each charity, yeah. We raised about $12,000.
$12,000, okay, great.
For each of the three charities.
And what is, tell the audience what the charities, what they were for. I know they were veterans related.
Freedom Alliance Scholarship Fund, which is Oliver North's charity, the Carroll County Veteran Independence Project, and Happy Hubs, which is my animal hospital partner's charity that defrays veterinary costs for veterans.
Fantastic. And Scott, you are a veteran yourself. Thank you for your service, and thank you for calling in today. And I'm playing Choose Your Fake News, and I'll get started here with story number one, where incoming CBS Evening News anchor, what the hell is this guy's last name? Scott, Tony DeCouple? DeCouple, maybe. He urged viewers to hold him accountable after acknowledging Thursday that many Americans don't trust legacy media. Ahead of DeCouple's first night hosting Monday's CBS News release, a clip of DeCouple acknowledging he has heard people have stopped trusting the media over their failure to properly discuss certain stories such as Russiagate, Hunter Biden's laptop, and the COVID lockdowns. Story number two, Seattle area school districts are administering a health survey to students as young as 10 years old that ask about their gender identity, romantic interests, and substance use while reportedly sharing data with outside groups, sparking privacy and consent concerns among some parents, prompting a probe by the Department of Education. And finally, story number three, the world's greatest golfer, Scottie Scheffler shared his thoughts on the alleged fraud occurring in his home state of California in a series of social media posts. President Trump said during a New Year's Eve event that fraud in California, New York, and Illinois is worse than recently uncovered welfare fraud in Minnesota. Scheffler responded on X to comments made by Representative Kevin Kiley, the Republican in California, during a Fox Business interview and later CNN interview, condemning a recently proposed billionaire's tax in California while alleged fraud has taken place. He said, quote, "No amount of tax can help California until the fraud problem gets fixed. California fraud makes Minnesota look like amateurs," Scheffler wrote. So is it story number one that deals with the CBS Evening News anchor calling out their own fake news, really? Story number two, 10-year-olds ask about their gender identity, romantic interests, and substance use. Or story number three, world's greatest golfer, Scottie Scheffler, chimes in on California's massive fraud. So, Scott, I'm sorry I couldn't hear you at the beginning. Did you say you want to go first or second?
Second.
Kristen, your pick.
Well, anything is possible in our world today. But I think I'm going to go with number two. I just hope that's fake for the kids' privacy's sake.
Kristen goes with number two. Scott in Westminster, what is your take?
Three.
All right, so story number one, CBS anchor Tony DeCouple basically saying, yeah, we missed the ball here. We don't report honest and accurate news. That is a true story, so that's good. Maybe actually CBS News will actually try to be a little bit fair and balanced. Story number two. with Seattle area school districts asking 10-year-olds about, I guess, their romantic interest and their gender interest or identity, and all that comes with the insanity is actually true.
Awful.
So, Kristen, the only part, and Scott, congrats on the win here. The only part of number three that is not true, it was not Scottie Scheffler, but it's golf legend Phil Mickelson who commented on the tax or the fraud and abuse in California. So, Scott, thanks for playing. Stay on the line. Your contestant winner today in the Choose Your Fake News. Thank you, Scott. Have a great weekend. Happy New Year, my friend.
That must be the Barry Weiss influence on CBS, I guess. Now that she's taken over CBS, maybe they're going to at least try to seem fair. I think you should still always be suspicious, but that's a good start. So we'll see.
It is a good start. It is something when you have, I mean, CBS News, you're talking the mainstream media news source in the country, CBS and NBC, right, too, and you know, the big ones. And here he is. I guess he's got a new position. And he's, oh, we're going to be actually fair now. And we're going to be honest.
Well, the proof is in the pudding, so we'll see. They got too many self-interests not to tell the truth, so we'll see.
It's remarkable to hear something like that. I mean, it's like for him to have to make an admission, we haven't quite been fair and honest with you, the listener. But I promise we're going to start doing that. It's just something else.
Another thing President Trump was proven right on. He said fake news all the way.
Oh, what was that, Scott?
Like all New Year's resolutions, it'll be gone in a week.
Well, let's hope that's not the case. But thanks again, Scott. You're listening to Nino Mangione filling in for Casey and Company. We're back with more in just a moment.
Hey, Sean Hannity here. You know, right now we have a politically divided country, trade wars, stock market uncertainty, tax changes, and the list goes on. Now, do you think that these world affairs have any effect on your financial affairs? Look, if you're not prepared, you could be in for a very rude awakening. Now, you've saved and been able to grow your money. You don't want to have to make it again. Call my guys, Rod Barowie and Paresh Shaw with the Safe Retirement Solutions team. Now, Rod and Paresh, now they're published authors, radio hosts right here on WCBM. Now they can show you how Wall Street's fuzzy math could derail your entire retirement plan. Now, do you want to get a handle on your retirement? Call the Safe Retirement Solutions team. Call them now at 410-266-1120. That's 410-266-1120. Schedule an in-person or a Zoom visit. That's 410-266-1120. Or check them out online at SafeRetirementSolutions.com.
The Rob Carson Show.
Hey guys, Friday on the show, the unusual suspects, Mary Walter, always entertaining and awesome. From the Daily Signal, Tony Kennett, and from Hollywood in Toto, Christian Toto.
I'll get you, my pretty, and your little dog too.
As well as the day's news and, of course, brand new parodies from Jim Gossett. Noon to 3 on WCBM. Don't miss it.
The Rob Carson Show. Weekdays, noon to 3 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Welcome back, everyone. Nino Mangione filling in for Sean Casey. Casey and Company on WCBM. We're 410-922-6680 is the call-in number. You can email the studio at am680 at WCBM.com. You can also stream WCBM online and download the WCBM app where you can text in this station. And speaking of the email text line here, James with a fantastic email coming in. James, I believe, is in North Carolina, formerly out of Crofton, it says, but this was the point I was making earlier. He's absolutely right, and we're going to get to Herb in a minute when it comes to this discussion about reparations. James points out, because the mayor of San Francisco and this ordinance they signed in, that he signed, is claiming it's not using tax dollars, right? But I made the point, they're not going to have the money without tax dollars, so what are they going to do? Well, James says, good morning, all. If not directly from the taxpayer, reparations funding will be through nonprofits, the NGOs, the non-government organizations. Funding will be done by the taxpayer, but indirectly. The Democrats will inconveniently skip their percentages, of course. Well, he is absolutely right. This is a point that I was making about what happens with these non-government, with the nonprofits, and it happens with Annapolis and with unions, and I was making the point in Minnesota, money gets divvied out, and it's done legally to some of these nonprofits, but there's very little oversight. Then the waste, fraud, and abuse occurs. But somewhere along the lines, the money's funneled back into one way or another to the Democrat Party. And when you're in places with complete, like Maryland, Democrat control, unions especially, it's the same thing. Why do you think the unions and these organizations, they're not donating to Republicans? That's for sure. But you'll get some of these nonprofit groups will be making the money or the donations to these funds and see, oh, look, it's not tax dollars, but how much tax dollars did they get? Well, we're going to check in with Herb in Baltimore in just a moment, but for now, I got to just check in with the Fox 45 Weather Authority forecast. Today, we are looking at a mix of sun and clouds, chilly with highs in the upper 30s with the overnight temps in the lower 20s. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, high in the upper 30s with flurries possible in the evening. That is our Fox 45 Weather Authority forecast. Let's go to Herb in Baltimore. Happy New Year, and thank you for holding, Herb. Go ahead.
Happy New Year. There's a solution to the problem with the reparations and the problem that one of your other callers were talking about. I'll get to that in a second. With the reparations, since the Republican Party was basically started and decided that we should end slavery, so no Republicans own slaves, I think that all of the money should come from all of the Democrat coffers, from the Democrat Party. And it's not the Democratic Party. There is no such thing as the Democratic Party. It is the Democrat Party, because that's what it is. Being Democratic is an action. So being a Democrat is what we need to take a look at. All the Democrats who have donated money, who put money into their party, that money, if they're going to do anything about reparations, should come from there. And the thing about with Mondani in New York, people need to look at what the Muslims did as far as the slave trade. They were the biggest part of the slave trade. And if people looked around and did a little bit of history diving, they'll find out that a very small fraction of the slaves, the people that were rounded up in Africa, went to the United States. And the slavery was terrible no matter where it was, whether it was from Ireland or Africa or China, wherever. It's terrible. But, you know, you have to look at the United States is always the one being bashed and being told that we have to pay for all this. But the United States isn't the only country that benefited. All of Central America, most of South America, all kinds of different islands around, all over Asia, benefited from the slave trade. And the United States of America benefited some, but nothing compared to the rest of the world. And people are being lied to as far as history. And you know, it's an insane thing to keep putting it on America. The other thing about with Pam Bondi and Akash Patel, you're very smart, and I really appreciate the way you do investigative things. You should try and do this. It's just a suggestion. You should dive into seeing how many investigations are going on right now because of all the crap that Biden did and the Clintons did. How many investigations that Bondi and Cash Patel and all the rest of the people right now have to get into? You can't get them all done at one time and make everybody happy. You can't do Epstein. You can't do the Clintons. You can't do all of these things all at once and get them all done at the same time in the short amount of time that they've been on the hunt. They're finding all kinds of stuff. But I'm the way our court system with all these liberal judges that have been installed and have been in there fighting back, we can't go anywhere with all this resistance from the Democrat Party. I mean, it is from the Democrat Party is where this is coming from, the liberals and the Democrat Party. And the last thing with as far as Trump, Trump isn't bashed all the time because he's not doing this, he's not doing that. Trump, his administration or his publicist or even you should take and start from when he was young, getting into business. All the good things that he's done, all the things that he's done for this country and for people where he doesn't ever get credit. He doesn't even ask for the credit. He does things because he's a very good man. He is. I mean, people trash him all the time with because of the lies and the things that they hear from this liberal, low-life press. It's just, it's insanity. But you really,
well, Herb,
like I said, as far as Cash Patel and Pam Bondi, people need to take and do a little investigation on their own and find out how many investigations are actually going on. You can only have so many irons in the fire, and you can only do so much, and you're never going to please everybody.
Herb, what can I say? That's a great call, informative. Lots of points made there. I appreciate your call. I mean, really, I don't have much more to add. You touched on it all. You're right. The president is doing so much, and that is a point to be made. There are a lot of investigations. I mean, lots of frustration. Nobody's getting arrested. They're not sending anybody to jail. No politicians are going to jail, this and that. But you're right. You cannot downplay. There are FBI agents on the ground in Minnesota. There's ICE on the ground in Minnesota. There's discussions among the Trump administration on the audio that I'm about to play when we return from the top of the hour break about what they're planning to do to some of these Somalis, for example. I mean, Cash Patel, the FBI director, just last week emphasized how they are going after this fraud ring with everything they have. So you're right. There is action being taken. We always want more. We always ask for more, but we have to at least give it a little bit of time. So Nino Mangione filling in for Sean Casey. You're listening to Casey and Company in the Morning.
This is the right choice for Maryland. Talk Radio 680 WCBN Baltimore.
Breaking news this hour from Town Hall. I'm Rex Thomason. Tough talk from President Trump as violent demonstrations break out across Iran, threatening the stability of the authoritarian regime.
As economic protests spread across parts of Iran, President Trump writes on his Truth Social platform that if Iran violently kills peaceful protesters, the U.S., quote, will come to their rescue, end quote. Trump writes, "We are locked and loaded and ready to go." At least 7 people have been killed in violence surrounding the demonstrations.
Correspondent Donna Warder says one high-ranking Iranian official warns that U.S. intervention would lead to, quote, chaos in the entire region and the destruction of U.S. interests. Swiss investigators have ruled out arson or some sort of attack in the deadly fire that swept a crowded night spot in the Alps early on New Year's Day. Correspondent John Leister says 40 people were killed, more than 100 others were injured.
Survivors of a fire that tore through a Swiss nightclub are beginning what for many could be a long and very difficult battle for recovery. The injured from the New Year inferno in the Swiss resort town of Crans, Montana, were so numerous, about 115 in all, that the regional hospital quickly hit full capacity. So some have been evacuated here, to this hospital in Lausanne, with its specialist burns unit. Others have been flown to neighboring France and to Italy and to Germany.
Last night, a vigil was held for the victims. Vowing to govern as a Democrat socialist, Zohran Mamdani has been sworn in as New York City's 112th mayor. Lauded by Senator Bernie Sanders and Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, a public swearing-in ceremony at City Hall. San Diego is reeling after torrential rains unleashed flash flooding, resulting in numerous swift water rescues. Dow futures up 191. More on these stories at townhall.com.
So Pure Talk just had their best year ever and asked me if I'd like to thank their customers on their behalf for being so awesome. I said sure. It's important to say thanks, especially this time of year, which is why, as one of their many satisfied customers, I should probably thank Pure Talk first for keeping their customer service in this country and for providing hundreds of American jobs. I appreciate that. I also appreciate their Roundup program, which makes it easy to support America's Warrior Partnership and join the fight against veteran suicide. And I love that Pure Talk donated 1,000 hand-sewn Made in America flags to veterans around Independence Day. And of course, I really appreciate their generous support of my own foundation, MicroWorks, and their commitment to help us train the next generation of skilled workers. Having said all that, it's now my pleasure, on behalf of everyone at Pure Talk, to thank you sincerely for choosing to do business with an American wireless company that actually stands for something. And one more thing. Happy New Year.
Colombia's military says it has neutralized a leader of one of the country's most feared criminal gangs.
He was the first of the Tren de Aragua leaders to appear on the FBI's 10 most wanted list. Now, he is considered the second in command, and him being on this list, according to the FBI, highlights the gang itself, but also the US's aggressiveness to trying to dismantle it. The Tren de Aragua is designated as a foreign terrorist organization. This is alongside an increasing number of criminal gangs that we've seen the Trump administration target in order to give themselves more legal power to try and fight them.
The BBC's Mimi Swaby. Under increasing pressure from the Trump administration, Venezuelan dictator Nicolas Maduro says his government is open to reaching an agreement with the United States to fight drug trafficking. The U.S. military continues blowing up suspected drug-running boats in international waters off the coast of Venezuela. News and analysis, townhall.com. It was a mixed bag of weather as the new year dawned.
Rain poured down on the iconic Rose Parade for the first time in 20 years. Marching bands, floats, and throngs of spectators were soaked by 1 to 2 inches of New Year's Day rain in Pasadena, California. Flood warnings and evacuation orders in Southern California joined snow squalls and frigid temperatures in the Northeast and Midwest to mark the first day of 2026. Temperatures at New York City's New Year's Eve ball drop were the coldest in 100 years. Conditions varied from snow showers to heavier squalls from Wisconsin through northern Illinois and Michigan and into northern New Jersey, southeastern New York, and New England. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
A woman has been killed in a suspected mountain lion attack while hiking in northern Colorado. Two mountain lions found in the area were dispatched by wildlife officials. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Your Fox 45 forecast, a mix of sun and clouds today, a chilly one with highs in the upper 30s. Mostly cloudy and frigid tonight as lows drop into the low 20s. Mostly cloudy for the start of your weekend on Saturday with a chance for some flurries later in the evening. Otherwise, still chilly with highs in the upper 30s. Some sun returns for your Sunday with highs near 40. From the Fox 45 Weather Authority, I'm meteorologist Amy Aronson for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Ready to make this the year you truly feel better? Start with your health. Rescue Natural Supplements has been helping people support heart health, cholesterol, digestion, weight management, energy levels, and more targeted wellness goals for over 40 years using high-quality, research-backed ingredients your body can trust. And right now, Rescue is celebrating you with their New Year's savings. Save 40% when you buy any 4 single bottles of Rescue Supplements with the code NEWYEAR40. Try their popular Rescue 1250 Omega-3 for heart and brain health, probiotic for better digestion, or Orasine for more consistent, all-natural energy. Whatever your health goals, Rescue has you covered. To mix and match 4 more bottles and get 40% off, just go to res-q.com or call 1-800-26-ALIVE. Again, that's 1-800-262-5483 or online at res-q.com with the code NEWYEAR40. Now's the time to take a smart step toward feeling your best with 40% off any 4 bottles of premium Rescue supplements at res-q.com using the code NEWYEAR40. Don't wait. Make this the year you prioritize your wellness with Rescue.
WCBM reaches all types of entrepreneurs, businesses, associations, and specialists. Now is your chance to explain live, by the way of your own radio show, exactly how your business or association can benefit the WCBM listener through your own show. You control the dialogue. You control the subject matter. You control your own results. This is a great opportunity that WCBM can give to you. For more information, call Andy Grimshaw or visit WCBM.com. From Milford Mill to Owings Mills, Memorial Park to Brooklyn Park, this is the right choice for Maryland.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
You're listening to Casey and Company on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Welcome back, everyone. Nino Mangione here, filling in for Sean Casey, Casey and Company on WCBM 680. 410-922-6680 is the call-in number. AM680 at WCBM.com is the studio email where you can text in the show. Also, the text line on the WCBM app on Apple and Android. And, of course, stream us anywhere, really, in the world at WCBM.com. And if you have not already, follow WCBM on social media. I gave the phone number line, and that is exactly what we're going to do here. We're going to return back
to the telephone line here with, we'll go to Rose in Delaware. Happy New Year. Welcome to the show.
Happy New Year, you know?
Thank you.
I wanted to add the perspective of someone who actually left Maryland. We moved to Delaware off the end of 24. And honestly, one of the things that drew us there was I was looking at the legislation and everything that was coming down the road and the increase in fees and taxes. And honestly, we pulled the trigger and we moved. And here, my husband is descended from the founders of Maryland. He's lived there his entire life.
Wow.
And our property taxes for this same value home went from over $6,000 to $1,700. We also have no sales tax. They don't tax Social Security. And it's sad because Maryland's a great state. It's my adopted home. And I know a lot of people have left the state. A lot of our neighbors are from Maryland. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, no, I think you make the point, and it's well taken there. I mean, I think I'll just add this. Is I have a Facebook page. People can follow me, my political page, Nino Mangione's, whatever, Nino Mangione 42, maybe. I forget because I'm District 42. Either way, it's on Facebook. We got one of the blue check marks, and I have 15,000 people as a local delegate on my page. I mean, that's pretty substantial for a Facebook local politics. And the point I'm making here, Rose, is that I see it all the time. I see all the time, and you actually took the initiative and did it, and it's unfortunate. I mean, I'm not blaming people for, like yourself, for doing this. It's the policies that pushed you out, and I see it on social media all the time on my page that when I bring up a story or a point or what's going on in Annapolis, and they say, we can't wait to leave. When my kids graduate college, we're leaving, or high school, we're leaving. When I retire, we're leaving. This is one of the most expensive states in the country to retire. Countless examples on my social media page. And it also,
one of the big things too is a lot of the people who have left are higher income individuals.
That is another great point, Rose, and the fact, and you look at just past legislative session, what did they do? They increased the taxes on high earners. So you saw, and the same thing happened with under Martin O'Malley. Martin O'Malley put forth the millionaire tax, and what happened? Millionaires left. And they didn't learn their lesson. And it's always easier. It's the same garbage out of Mondami in New York. Tax and Sanders, Bernie Sanders, tax the rich, tax the rich. And then they leave. Mm-hmm. And you talk about, you know, when you see these situations of the mismanaged, you have the high taxes and fees. Chris Papps and I talked about it yesterday. It's affecting, or not yesterday, I'm sorry, earlier this week, where how these fees are nickel and dime individuals, and that's pushing people out. Property tax, the cost of living, energy is so expensive, and your everyday bills. And then you see the government.
Well, the big thing, too, is that data tax, like how they're taxing businesses just using data now.
Yeah, the tech tax, so that they, I mean, everybody is using, and from a business perspective, the very things that they're taxing. And all that does is trickle back down, and it has an effect on Marylanders across the board. And yet people are voting with their feet, and they're leaving.
Mm-hmm.
Like yourself.
The sad thing is, like, honestly, every time I see another thing coming on the news, I tell my husband, I'm like, thank God we're not in Maryland anymore. But it's so sad for the good people who actually live in Maryland. I honestly feel for you. I especially feel for you being, you know, a Republican amongst people who just aren't listening. And it's not like they're just a different political party. They don't even want to hear what you have to say. And you can sense the frustration.
Thank you, Rose. I appreciate those comments. And, you know, Marty just emailed in, when I retire, my wife and I are gone. So, I mean, you're not alone. You've made the move. I do wish you well. I'm trying. Many people, to your point you just made there, are trying you know, to do our best. Well, so many millions of Marylanders are just out there trying their best to just make a life for them and their families, and they're just being sucker punched right in the stomach by the policies coming out of Annapolis, and it just makes it harder and harder. And that's why, Rose, I'm not sure if you're aware of the comptroller report that came out that said that over the course of the, I think, what was it, from 20, I have to pull it up, in roughly 10 years or so, several million Marylanders have left. Now, don't get me wrong, there's been people that come in, but several million Marylanders have said, enough is enough, we are gone.
But the thing is, who is coming in, though? The people coming in.
And you know who's coming in?
Immigration.
It was immigration, exactly. It was immigrants, and in many cases, or these aren't immigrants coming in here, in a lot of cases, that are bringing wealth and prosperity and helping all Marylanders do better. Many cases, these are immigrants that are coming in, and they're using resources from the government, and it's making it a more and more expensive place to live, because the only way to pay those bills, and thank you, Rose, for the call, is to expand the size of government by using more tax dollars from hard-earned Marylanders, and they're saying enough, and they are leaving. Let's check in with the Fox 45 Weather Authority forecast. We are looking at today a mix of sun and clouds, chilly with highs in the upper 30s, overnight temperatures in the lower 20s, with tomorrow mostly cloudy, high in the upper 30s, with flurries possible in the evening. That is the Fox 45 Weather Authority forecast. So, Chris, what we got? I was going to say we're Jamie, hold on in Catonsville. Mike in Abingdon, thanks for the hold. We're going to get to you in just a moment. But for right now, it is time that, let me pull it up here, we celebrate America's 250th birthday with our 250 moments of the day here from the birthplace of the Star Spangled Banner, Fort McHenry, Baltimore. It's time to celebrate 250, and let's play our national anthem. Beautiful, never gets old. Love hearing our national anthem. Our first moment, 1788. On this day, Georgia ratifies the U.S. Constitution, becoming the fourth state to ratify the Constitution, strengthening the new United States. In 1893, the first U.S. postage stamp, I love this one, honoring Christopher Columbus, goes on sale, part of a series celebrating exploration in American history. 1958, the United States launches the first successful weather satellite program. And on this date in 1920, the New York Yankees acquire the great Babe Ruth in a deal that revolutionized baseball, America's pastime. The Yankees bought the Sultan of Swat from the Boston Red Sox for $100,000, where Ruth's arrival launched the house that Ruth built, symbolizing free enterprise, Yankee grit, which with Mondami, we're not seeing much more of that, are we? And the roaring prosperity of the post-World War I era that we like to hail as the golden age of American exceptionalism, and President Trump working on returning that golden age of American greatness. That is a look today in history for America's 250, celebrating America's 250th birthday next, Independence Day. So let's go right back to the phones. Mike in Abingdon, thank you very much for holding all this time. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, too. outstanding program. Listen to your program even more and more often.
Thank you very much.
Who are you? You're not the regular guy.
No, I'm Sean Casey is the regular guy. I am Nino Mangione filling in for Sean Casey.
Hey, very informative this morning. There were three things in my way that came up to the point of me giving an opinion. The opinion on three things. First is the reparation situation. Okay, back to the African Americas, back to all these other types of societies. This nation was built on everybody as far as reparation situation. This nation was built on, and I'm a registered Democrat, by the way, okay? This nation was definitely built on enterprise. And with that situation come capitalism. And capitalism built this nation from the very beginning, and even allowed for the subsidies of the Democratic Party. That's just a little education that pretty much most of your listeners know about. But this reparation is not going to be controlled. Look what's happening in the Midwest. Look what's happening right now with another situation with the Midwest of the people who receive, it's just called the reparations, and they send it over to other nations and build their other nations. I mean, that's basically what's happening, not in control. And no doubt about it, the current president, I even hate to say his name, but the current president has did level up the situation of this nation being crimped off to being in debt to the point of no return. So in my perspective, when it comes down to the reparation situation, I say no. You know, I say right now, if your people want to have backbone to work for this nation, come and do it. And as far as the capitalism, Maryland is not only losing out on capitalism, but it's going towards the point of bankruptcy and to a point of no return as well. The capitalist society that's here, people who have been, is not only already left and move on with the financial situation to states which gives them a favorable situation, but it's at a point of which we're doing nothing more than writing out checks that not only the state, but the government refuses to pay out. So with all that situation in mind, it all comes around to this. The people of America need to get out and be a part of society by working and building this nation again. We're declining. That's my opinion.
Mike, excellent call. Thank you. I appreciate you contacting us today. Happy New Year. You are listening to Nino Mangione filling in for Sean Casey, Casey and Company. We will be back in just a moment. I want to talk a little bit more about reparations, and you're going to hear exactly how they plan to implement this in the commission in the state of Maryland.
If you're taking a closer look at your financial future, now is the time to talk with someone you trust. Own a business and want to understand your valuation or start planning an exit strategy? Maybe you want a fresh set of eyes on your investment portfolio. That's where Tim Herb, financial advisor at RBC Wealth Management, comes in. Tim explains things clearly, helps you build a plan, giving you confidence and moving forward. Connect with Tim Herb, RBC Wealth Management. Take the next step toward a more secure financial future.
RBC Wealth Management, a division of RBC Capital Markets, LLC. Registered investment advisor and member NYSE FINRA.
Hi, this is Scott Jennings. You've seen me battle the left on CNN for years, and now you can hear me every weeknight at 9 as I continue to slay the liberal narratives. Join me for unmatched political insight, high-impact interviews, and sharp-witted commentary that cuts through the noise. It's my job to arm you with common sense and shape the national conversation. Don't miss the Scott Jennings Show weeknights at 9, Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
Welcome back, everybody. Nino Mangione filling in for Sean Casey and Casey and Company. 410-922-6680 is the call-in number. The previous caller made a point about reparations, and his end point there was, well, that's spot on. It's just a timeless way of looking at things. I mean, America especially needs to get back to, well, to the direction where people are just willing to work hard, contribute, and try to make America a better place. And what we're having here with this situation, for example, reparations, all reparations is doing is looking back, taking something that happened a long, long, long time ago, blaming the people of the day by putting a financial burden on them to pay for some of the horrible things that happened over 150 years ago. And if you go back to the civil rights era, I mean, there's terrible things, racial inequities that happened. But even that, 60, 70 years ago. So how do they plan to do it? So what they plan to do in Maryland with this reparations commission, they tasked the body, the one that they just overturned, the veto of the governor, the Democrats, with not a single Republican vote, mind you. So what are they doing? Well, the potential reparations examples in the bill include official apologies. Okay, well, stupid, but issue a proclamation, apologize, and go on. Apologize from the state, but not on the citizens. The citizens didn't do anything. But that's nothing. That's not the point. The real point is what I'm about to read to you as to how they plan to implement this, potentially implement this bill. Wait till you hear this. But for now, let's check in. We have the Fox 45 Weather Authority forecast today with a mix of sun and clouds, chilly with highs in the upper 30s, overnight temperatures in the lower 20s, where tomorrow we're looking at mostly cloudy, high in the upper 30s, with flurries possible in the evening. That is today's Fox 45 Weather Authority forecast. So, I was just going off here. Listen to this. This is what might come about with this reparations bill. Potential reparations examples include monetary compensation, property tax rebates, assistance with home down payments, tuition waivers for higher education, debt forgiveness, business incentives, child care support, social service assistance, licensing permit fee waivers. So this commission does not directly authorize these payments yet, but it's studying, based on those criteria, how they can come up with a fund where they siphon it from the taxpayers, from you, to pay for them. Terrible idea, terrible bill, nothing gets better. But let's go and listen in to Jamie from Catonsville. Welcome. Thank you for holding so long. Happy New Year. And you want to discuss reparations.
Happy New Year, Nina.
Thank you.
Went to school with probably your Uncle Nick.
That's, anyway, my father.
Here's the crazy part. This has been going on. I mean, these reparations, we already do reparations. Welfare, this child care BS, all this other stuff, incentives, people with low income, most of them are minorities. We are already doing these reparations now, just like you just pointed out. This is nothing new. Here's the crazier part. If you want to give somebody, why tax me? Why don't you just give that person who you're going to give $100 to, give them a 30% break on their taxes? Because you know when the government hands you $100, they're going to take 30% of it off the top. So that's just wasteful money. It's just a Ponzi scheme. Give the person a break if you're going to do that. And what about people that, like the Irish, weren't they slaves at one time? I mean, this is just not going to stop. This is a shark effect. They're going to just keep on taking and taking and taking. And you haven't done anything. If you go over to Poly now, that place is a dump. They gave all that people, all that kids to come in, and nobody's being educated. It's not helping. And the crazy part is African-Americans should understand one person. I'm not an advocate of Malcolm X. But he said, if you allow the government to take care of you, you are a chump. And there's a lot of African-American people I talk to in the street, and they agree with that.
Well, Jamie, let me...
That's all I got to say.
Yep, and thank you very much for the call. And you're right, it's a grift. This reparations, this whole idea is a political, professional political grift. That's all it is. Where do we start? Number one, slavery ended over 150 years ago. There are no direct victims. There are no enslavers alive. You know, how do you even figure out who the descendants are? How do you calculate a fair amount? You're just going to have, again, that's where the grift comes in. They're never going to calculate who these people or actually know if there was any impact whatsoever. But most Americans today, no link whatsoever to slavery. So taxing them for this is an injustice. This Civil War, you want to make the point. How about the Civil War where all the individuals that died fighting the Civil War, white men who died and they freed the slaves. You make the point about, for example, welfare programs. There's already compensation indirectly to the previous caller. I mean, welfare programs, affirmative action. How much social spending is done in terms of a form of repayment? This number's in the hundreds of billions throughout the country over the years. It's just a political grift by the Democrat Party. That is it. Plain and simple. Let's check in with Chuck from Columbia. Chuck, Happy New Year. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Nino. My vague memory comes up that I think Abraham Lincoln gave the slaves a mule and 40 acres as compensation. But I might be wrong about that. But who really needs reparations are these young women who've been mutilated under the transgender programs, which is paid for, starting with family planning, with the Obama programs. And I would like to know how much money was spent on mutilating the women just in the state of Maryland.
Well, I'm not sure of the number, the dollar number, but I'll say this to your point, Chuck, and thank you for the call, is that, yes, Maryland Medicaid, thanks to the Democrats, covers this trans surgery. They passed the Trans Health Equity Act in 2024, and there are millions of dollars being spent on transgender surgeries. I'm not sure how many actual surgeries in the dollar figure at this moment. I'll try to do a little research during this quick break. But yeah, thanks, Democrats. Thanks for nothing. Nina Mangione filling in for Sean Casey, Casey and Company on WCBM. I'll have some figures and numbers on this when we return from the national news update.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Tough talk from President Trump as violent demonstrations break out across Iran, threatening the stability of the authoritarian regime. Swiss investigators ruling out arson or some kind of attack in the deadly fire that swept a crowded night spot in the Alps early on New Year's Day. 40 people were killed, more than 100 others injured last night, a vigil held for the victims. Vowing to govern as a Democrat socialist, Zoran Mamdani has been sworn in as New York City's 112th mayor. San Diego is reeling after torrential rains unleashed flash flooding, resulting in numerous swift water rescues. Facing pressure from the Trump administration, Venezuela's dictator says his government is open to reaching a deal with the U.S. to fight drug trafficking. On Wall Street, Dow futures up 183 points. More details at srnnews.com.
This is Pastor David Lewis of the Cub Hill Bible Presbyterian Church with a moment of truth. Here's why. If you don't already trust in God, you should. God never rescinds a promise, nor does he forget one. And one of the most reassuring, comforting guarantees that he gives us is found at the end of the 8th chapter of Romans. God tells us that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Did you get that? Everything that has ever existed is unable to separate you from God's love. That's a good deal, because there's only two choices here. God either loves you or he hates you. God hates sin, so if you have not had your sins forgiven by the grace of Christ, you will be separated from God for eternity. But if you've confessed your sins to God and repented, trusting in Christ, then his love will protect you forever. Are you right with God? And if not, what are you waiting for? Tomorrow's not promised to anyone. This is Pastor David Lewis. This has been today's Moment of Truth.
Your Fox 45 forecast, a mix of sun and clouds today, a chilly one with highs in the upper 30s, mostly cloudy and frigid tonight as lows drop into the low 20s, mostly cloudy for the start of your weekend on Saturday with a chance for some flurries later in the evening, otherwise still chilly with highs in the upper 30s. Some sun returns for your Sunday with highs near 40.
From the Fox 45 Weather Authority, I'm meteorologist Amy Aronson for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Hi, it's Sean Casey. Join me on Thursday, February 5th at Liberatore's in Timonium for the second annual Taste of the Union. It's an evening built around good food and straightforward conversation about where Maryland is headed. You'll enjoy a full Italian buffet. Then Kim Klasick and I will walk through the issues that matter to families, taxpayers, and local businesses. If you want clear, common-sense discussion in a relaxed setting, get your tickets today at WCBM.com. Taste of the Union is presented by the Smile Design Center and Lorien Health Services.
Now, back to more of Casey and Company on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Welcome back, everybody. Nino Mangione here, filling in for Sean Casey. Casey and Company, 410-922-6680 is the call-in number. You can email in the show, am680 at wcbm.com. You can text into the show using the WCBM app, which you can download for free at wcbm.com. You can also stream us online at wcbm.com and follow us on Facebook and X and Instagram. And Don in Parkville, we're going to get to you in just a moment, but let's check in with the email here. Kristen, you'll love this one. Alan emails in and he says that for the quarter that ended in December 31st, 2025, Kristen had the highest winning percentage, 732%. You won on Choose Your Fake News 7 plus out of 10 times. You beat Chuck, and I'm not sure if that's saying a whole lot. I mean,
it's my only talent in life, apparently.
You have the most wins with 14, it says, and you have an overall winning percentage of almost 60%.
Wow.
So there you go. But
I'll wait for my trophy.
Yes, yes. And I mean, Chuck's still asleep, so he's not very difficult to beat. But now, if you're listening, Chuck, we love you. Happy New Year.
Yes.
But thank you. That was Alan who emailed in. And let's check back to the calls. Don in Parkville, welcome.
Hi, Nino. I just had a question you might be able to answer.
I will try.
I got gas last week. It was $2.65 a gallon. I rode by the same station, and all the stations in Parkville, Perry Hall, Towson are $2.99 a gallon this week. They went up 34, 35 cents in 1 week. What's going on? Do you know?
Well, I'm not sure in terms of the... Well, all I can say, if you're trying to make the point, is it more expensive in Maryland or than other states?
No,
or
if these corrupt politicians in Maryland have thrown another gas tax on us.
No, well, two things. The answer is no. The gas tax is actually automatically adjusted each year based on inflation, and they have
right.
a formula, which the state law, which was a sneaky way that they did it, the Democrats, where they can raise the gas tax without actually having to vote for it, which is why I put forth a bill, because they're, believe it or not, different point here, Don, but I want to make this point, is in Annapolis, there are lots of taxes and fees go up that never receive a vote. And that's because if the politicians, especially in this case, the Democrats, had to constantly pass a tax like the gas tax or constantly increase the gas tax, and it hits you in your wallet every year or two, and every other fee that they'd have to increase by vote, you'd be able at election time to say, as a citizen, I'm running against this politician because they increased my taxes 80 times or whatever it may be. And people would get fed up. So they did this gas tax formula that it goes up with inflation. And what we have here, though, so I'm not exactly, I would have to imagine some of it's the market, but to your point, the state gasoline tax, I believe, is roughly like 45 or 46 cents a gallon, which is probably one of the highest base price gasolines, I would imagine, gasoline tax in the country. So every gallon you buy, you are dropping almost 50 cents. So that is part of the reason, one way that thing that does not help people pay at the pump, because you are getting taxed through the waz in this state.
I don't trust these politicians. I don't know if they tried to sneak another tax on us, from they passed some kind of, 300 and some bills last year, and half of them nobody knows about or reads. And
well,
I didn't know if they said, before the first of the year, we're gonna throw another gas tax on them, you know.
Well, Don, I understand why you would think that. The answer, that's not the case. We do have a high gas tax, but they did not sneak another tax in that regard. They did increase some of your vehicle registration or some of the vehicle taxes with registration, vehicle emissions. They doubled. So there was some of that went on. But I would have to think the issue right now with the gas price maybe going up kind of rapidly in a small amount of time probably has something to do with being this time of year with seasonal travel, obviously high in demand. People are traveling over the holidays, and that may contribute to short-term increases. I think there's probably national and regional issues as to why that would happen, but it's not another gas tax. We have a high gas tax, but not another one. And Jim in Bel Air wants to comment. Jim, welcome to the show, and Happy New Year.
Hey, Happy New Year to you too, Nino.
Thank you.
I was just listening to the gentleman. The gas did go up because I did notice that also, but last couple of years, except the last that one year that Biden had dipped into the reserves, the gas went down during the holidays. But every year, it because of the traveling, the gas goes up a little bit. But after that, after the new year, it should be going down till Memorial Day weekend. So it should be pretty good until then. But yeah, that's what I've noticed the last couple of years, except that one year that Biden had hit the oil reserves.
Yep. No, thanks for making that point, Jim. I don't know if you caught my tail end right there at the end. That's kind of what I added to it. And I understand, yep, Don's skepticism, but that is not the case in this particular example. I know there's a lot of distrust amongst our Maryland politicians in Annapolis, the Democrats, but they did not sneak through a last-minute tax on gas. So, again, I highlight, they did, and it's all out in the open, they did tax your vehicle, or they increased vehicle registrations, emissions, others. Over the years, they put a tax on the ride-sharing companies like Uber. I mean, they've done a lot of damage, but in this case, they did not sneak through another gas tax. So you're listening to Nino Mangione filling in for Sean Casey and Company. Man, we've covered a lot today. Let's move in a little bit of a different direction. We talk about failed leadership. Yesterday, what we saw in what was once America's greatest city, what was once the world's greatest city, we saw Zoran Mamdani sworn in as the mayor of New York City. And I will say that this experiment is destined to fail, as socialism has done every time in human history it's been tried. Let's just take you to New York yesterday and just listen to how they basically kicked off the ceremony with this guy talking about the poem that he has. Listen to this.
I'd like to dedicate this poem to my trans, queer, foreign students of color at the University of Tennessee, Knoxville.
I'm sure the University of Tennessee students, Kristen, love that one. trans, queer, foreign students of color. So that's how you start the day at the inauguration for the new mayor. And those are, I guess, some of the priorities of Zoran Mamdani. Where this weird guy who made these comments did a little research on what the Quran that Mamdani took the oath on, by the way, would think about some of his LGBTQ friends in that community. But that was just a little side note. But let's actually listen, more importantly, to Mamdani himself, the Democrat socialist, proudly letting everyone in New York know that Democrat socialism is coming to New York City, and he is proud of it. Let's play the
clip. I was elected as a democratic socialist, and I will govern as a democratic socialist. I will not abandon my principles for fear of being deemed radical. As the great senator from Vermont once said, What's radical is a system which gives so much to so few and denies so many people the basic necessities of life. We will strive each day to ensure that no New Yorker is priced out of any one of those basic necessities. And throughout it all, we will, in the words of Jason Terrence Phillips, better known as Jadakiss or J to the Moi, be outside.
Democrat socialism is coming. He is proud of it. That is the New York City Mayor Mondami. I have more on him in just a moment, but for now we're going to check in with the Fox 45 Weather Authority forecast, where today we're looking at a mix of sun and clouds, chilly with highs in the upper 30s with overnight temperatures in the lower 20s. Tomorrow we're looking mostly cloudy, high in the upper 30s with flurries possible in the evening. That is today's Fox 45 Weather Authority forecast. So Mondami, the Democrat Socialist, he's not shying away from it. He's coming full speed, a freight train, runaway train, I should say. And here in this next clip, he's coming right out, attacking one of the bedrock American values, that being individualism. It's rugged individualism that's made this country, and that's the very spirit, really, that's built this country from the ground up. But let's hear, pay close attention to this audio from Mondami.
We will replace the frigidity of rugged individualism with the warmth of collectivism. If our...
Replace rugged individualism. Rugged individualism, ladies and gentlemen, is the American story in a nutshell. When you look back and how we got here, I mean, the pioneers that were heading west long, long time ago. Nothing but a wagon, a rifle, and their grit. You know, immigrants over the years that stepped off the boat, nothing in their pockets but just that American dream, working three jobs, learning the language. You know, they were not like today. They were learning the language, not like these illegals coming in. They built businesses, employed generations through their hard work. People that started businesses in their garages, farmers out there busting their butts, breaking their backs, dawn to dusk. I've met many of these farmers that still do this in North Baltimore County. God bless them. God bless them. I mean, entrepreneurs risking everything they have on whatever their idea is to start their company, using their God-given talents that the Lord blessed them with. People in America who have rolled up their sleeves, working their tails off, trying to achieve greatness, not getting the handouts, not coming up with excuses, but just that hard work, that personal responsibility, and freedom to rise as high as they possibly could based on their achievement. And here comes, because socialists hate that, by the way. They sneer at it and they look at it as selfish almost. I mean, because rugged individualism, it threatens their collective mindset, their collectivist fantasy, really. I mean, sure, everybody wants to be in the betterment of society together in terms of, you know, working. Everybody works hard and tries to make America a better place. But in their world, you're not supposed to stand out. You're supposed to conform. You're supposed to be part of the government machine, really. I would say you're supposed to be a ward of the state to them. You know, what you do is not for your family or your future, but it's your success is meant to bankroll, in many cases, people who refuse to lift a finger to help themselves. So you're supposed to work nonstop, paying crushing taxes, watch your earnings get redistributed, fund endless entitlement programs, watch your money redistributed for open borders, woke pet projects, while takers sit back and they demand more. And throughout his speech yesterday, he mentioned almost everybody but actual Americans. And real Americans reject his socialist garbage. We celebrate people that do things and succeed. The builders, the strivers, the men and women who don't need government permission or checks to get ahead. That's the spirit that made America the greatest nation on earth. We don't need a socialist lecture erasing that. And the thing with these socialists is, remember, they're afraid of free people working hard, keeping what they earn, living life on their own terms. That is not, that's what scares socialists, because that's, that in itself is what tears down their whole being as these socialists, because they dislike success. They resent it. They can't stand anyone who achieves something meaningful. And yet, and especially when it's done honest and legally. You know, we all might look or wish we were like President Trump, had some real fancy 747 and big old beautiful houses. But the thing is, what socialists do, I might envy a little bit of that, but I appreciate the success of a business person like President Trump and other small and big business leaders. But what the socialists do, they take a different approach. Instead of appreciating their drive, what they do is they're actually themselves driven by jealousy, and instead of motivation, they want destruction. Their solution, always the same as these socialists, is tear down successful people. Not prop them up, not thank them for providing jobs, not appreciate their talent and hard work, but they rather tax them into oblivion. And you saw it on full display at this event, the inauguration, when none other than Bernie Sanders was at it. He took to the stage shouting the same old line, and listen to how the socialist minions in the audience react. Let's play Senator Bernie Sanders at the Mondami inauguration.
Lastly, and maybe most importantly, demanding that the wealthy and large corporations start paying their fair share of taxes.
You can turn that off. Listen to the sheep in the audience. Like I said, they're, what makes them excited is when they want to tear down people who've been successful. You never get a better country that way. You're listening to Nino Mangione. I am filling in for Sean Casey, Casey and Covenant. We will be wrapping up with more just a moment when I come back.
The moment you arrive at Pennsylvania Dutch Market in Cockeysville, the aroma alone will have your mouth watering. Freshly roasted pork, daily caught seafood, and homemade desserts that taste just like mom made. You'll find everything you need to prepare a great holiday feast all in one stop. And don't miss Twin Brooks Furniture for incredible ideas at unbeatable value. Open Thursdays and Fridays 9 to 6 and Saturdays 8 to 4. Start a new holiday tradition with your family at Pennsylvania Dutch Market on York Road in Cockeysville.
Hi, it's Kim Klasick. When I think appliances, I think Town Appliance in Owings Mills. You're going to meet Mayor and Mayor, and they'll help you make the best choice. Whether you're remodeling or replacing, they'll guide you through all their brands, like Electrolux and Frigidaire. Over 70 trusted brands to choose from. Whatever fits your style and budget, they will customize it just for you. This is a family-run store that actually treats you like family. Skip the big box chaos and take it from me. Once you walk into their showroom, be prepared to be amazed, like I was. TownAppliance.com. Powered by family, trusted by yours.
Hi, it's Sean Casey. Join me on Thursday, February 5th at Liberatory's in Timonium for the second annual Taste of the Union. It's an evening built around good food and straightforward conversation about where Maryland is headed. You'll enjoy a full Italian buffet. Then Kim Klasick and I will walk through the issues that matter to families, taxpayers, and local businesses. If you want clear, common sense discussion in a relaxed setting, get your tickets today at WCBM.com.
Taste of the Union is presented by the Smile Design Center and Lorien Health Services.
The Rob Carson Show.
America is back. All of the haters who have tried to tear us down, who have kneeled during anthems, have burned American flags, have torn down statues, all of you will be left in the dustbin of history. The greatest country in the history of mankind that dragged us out of the dark ages. America, with its First Amendment backed by its Second Amendment and acknowledging that our rights come from God.
The Rob Carson Show. Weekdays noon to 3 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Welcome back. Nino Mangione filling in for Sean Casey, Casey and Company on WCBM. And we've had a great week, a fun week, wishing everybody a happy new year. I want to try to squeeze in these last calls in just a minute, but let's check in with the Fox 45 Weather Authority forecast today. We are looking at a mix of sun and clouds, chilly with highs in the upper 30s, overnight temperatures in the lower 20s, where tomorrow it is mostly cloudy, high in the upper 30s. Flurries possible in the evening. That is the Fox 45 Weather Authority forecast update. I have a lot to give Kristen. At first, I thought maybe we didn't have enough content because we didn't have Gary, we didn't have Chuck Whitaker. But man, I have so much I wish I could get to. But let's just go right to the calls and see if we can squeeze in. Actually, no, we're going to do real quick the feel good story of the day. Let's play the theme.
I need some good.
Thank you, Kristen, and thank you for popping in. I just want to let everybody know Kim Klasick is coming up next. She has a great, you know, unlike Chuck Whitaker, Kristen, Kim is here. She's doing the job. She's not sleeping in. That guy hasn't worked in an entire year. Unbelievable. But our feel-good story, love you, Chuck, feel-good story of the day. This is something else. President Trump unexpectedly auctioned off a painting at his New Year's Eve party in West Palm Beach. Listen to this one. The painting, which was done by a speed painter at the event, was of Jesus Christ, and it was sold. The painting, Kristen, this painting sold for $2.75 million. And half of the proceeds will go to the St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, while the other half will go to the local sheriff's office. And it looks like it says here the president bid $100,000 for the painting. I guess, obviously, the members or the guests at the party certainly upped the ante a little bit and told that cheap Mr. President, get out of here with that $100,000. No, and $2.75 million. Unbelievable.
Pocket change for some of it. No. I watched the video. Trump was great. The New Year's Eve party at Mar-a-Lago, and he did the auctioning himself, which is so funny.
It's great. When the president picks the microphone up, it's like, all right, come on, let's up this bidding a little bit. And then people that have the resources, they obviously succumb to the president's wishes there. And it is a great video. And that's $2.75 million of dollars to two different charities. So
he
amazing.
Never takes a day off. Never takes a night off.
No, he doesn't. It's a great story. And that today is our feel-good story of the day. So we'll sneak in, again, Kim Klasick coming up next. She's one from 9 to noon talking the issues of the day. Thank you for holding. We have Bill in Perry Hall. Go ahead, Bill.
Yes, good morning, Nino.
Good morning. Happy New Year.
Same to you. If these elected politicians can pick, this country was founded on the Christian principles, for sure, as elicited from the Bible. However, if these elected politicians can choose any book they want, then why not have them choose Mao Zedong's Red Book or Reverend Sun Yung Moon's Divine Principle, and just pick and maybe anything, maybe Mad Magazine or something, because it's meaningless if they're going to pick any book that they want to take an oath off of. It's silly, you know. They ought to use the Bible, which is what our country was founded on. If you go to Saudi Arabia, the Prince of Saudi Arabia is not going to take an oath off the Talmud.
Bill, well said. Good point. You're absolutely right that Mondami took his oath on the Quran yesterday. This is a nation that was founded on Judeo-Christian principles. This is the, New York City was a city that was attacked by Islamic terrorists, and now they got a guy in Mandami who, just as his chief counsel, I've covered this story earlier in the week, hired a guy who represented an Al-Qaeda terrorist to be his right-hand man. So New York, New Yorkers, hold on to your seats. It is going to be a very bumpy ride with Mandami at the helm in that city. So our email came in. Michael emails, Mr. Whitaker is a Baltimore treasure. Never dig him up. Yes, he is. We love you, Chuck. We love you, brother. Happy New Year if you're listening, Chuck. Thank you, Michael, for the email. And we got a couple minutes here. We have time. Let's sneak Bob from Baltimore in, the last caller of the show. Bob, welcome.
Oh, great. Oh, Nita, you interrupted me. I was just having a shot of bourbon.
Oh, well, there you go. Good morning, Bob.
Well, extend the new year. But anyway, the question I wanted to ask, I never seem to get an answer. What do you have to do to recall some of these people, these politicians?
Statewide officials, you mean? I don't think...
Statewide, any of them. Especially, I got to be honest, and I'm saying this as an old person. Some of these old people, I'll be honest with you, I thought Steny Hoyer died 2 years ago. Yes. And then I found out he's still around. What can we do to, like, get rid of some of these old geezers?
Well, Steny Hoyer... Maryland law does not allow, I think, voters to be removed from the statewide offices through a recall election. The only thing you can really do is vote them out. And unfortunately, in many districts, we do not have the numbers, which is sad. And thank you for the call. But yeah, Maryland law does not allow voters to remove statewide officials through a recall election. So I think the legislature can impeach members, obviously, if somebody were to resign. But the only way to do it, really, is by voting them out in Maryland. Some local jurisdictions in Maryland, I think they do allow recalls for certain elected officials, but that depends on the local law or the local charter. So Maryland Constitution, I do not believe, provides general recall elections for statewide office. So hope that answers your question. I'm pretty sure that is the case. But thank you either way for calling. Thank you, everybody. Man, I had a whole list of audio and stories, but your help made this go a lot faster today. I'm looking through my notes here. We had Caroline Leavitt. I said I wanted to play this clip. I obviously don't have the time. But she said that President Trump wants some of those Somalis to have their citizenship revoked. I had that story. I had Senator Johnson. So much that we cannot get to, unfortunately. But it's been a great, fun time. Nina Mangione filling in, Casey and Company. Happy New Year, everybody.
This is the right choice for Maryland.